photo, and I'm going to run through a few slides, and really just to kind of show you the business kind of from my point of view, kind of just the lifestyle that it's been able to lead to. I don't have a lot of trinket pictures. I'm not a trinket guy. You know, I mean, we have a couple of nice cars, stuff like that, but I don't have a lot of pictures of that. Most of my stuff is family and moments and just life in general, spending time with people. And so we'll jump into that. So I'm going to show you that. Then we'll get into some training. And I have just a couple of, you know, things I want to share with you all. Then we'll open it up to Q&A. So, because the Q&A will kind of take us in the direction that you all want to go. Because sometimes there's questions that you have specifically that I don't want to pretend I know the question that you have. Even though I might have the answer, I don't know the question. And so I want to be able to give it to you and be able to share the answer with you based on what you need. So we'll have a little fun. I'm free-flowing, so, you know, whatever question pops up, we'll be okay with it. We'll be able to handle it. But my goal when I leave here, I just want to be able to leave here and know that I said something today that can help your business grow to the next level. That's the bottom line. I just want to give back like somebody gave to me when I first got started and help me truly understand the business. Let me just say before I get started, I mean, you guys got great leadership in this market, so I don't profess that I'm going to say anything you may not have already heard. You got some great leaders, and you got some great mentors, some people that have really paved the way and fought the hard fight, and you've done a great job, and I tell you, you have no greater of a leader in this room than your regional vice president. I mean, the gentleman who really has just gone to the mat for Legal Shield over and over and over again, he bleeds. You cut him, it's going to be Legal Shield out of his veins. I mean, this is who he is. It's amazing the amount of sacrifice that he puts in to make sure that everything works well, but also to build his own business. So he's not just leading, but he's building and constantly growing. And so I think we just all give it up, give a huge round of applause for Mr. Dave Hall. You all are fortunate. You all have him here. You get to know him. I had to kind of work my way to get around him and kind of get a chance to know him because he was somebody that I looked up to in the business. Like, man, this guy is rocking. I want to do what this guy is doing. And so you all are fortunate. You just live here and just can walk up and shake his hand. We didn't have that ability. And so I'll share with you a little bit. In terms of getting started, this particular building, I might be able to make it bigger. I don't know. We'll see. Let's see if the Zoom makes it bigger. Zoom. Oh, full screen. Yeah, I was doing that here. Right. This boy is, I told you he's smart. So interestingly enough, my first PBR I actually had in that building because my house was right on the other side. It was a house and then the office was attached. My first PBR I had in that building because my spouse was so negative that she wouldn't let me have a PBR in the house. She didn't want anybody. No, I don't want that Legal Shield stuff in my house. So move this up so it doesn't pop. And so I couldn't have it in my house. That was my first location. So this is before we had that sign. That sign came after. My parents had another sign called Committed to Your Health Center. That's where they were in another company. They sold all the nutritional products. That sign eventually came down. So it's kind of cool to watch the transition because the Legal Shield sign went up, or the Prepaid Legal back then went up, and then one day the Committed to Your Health sign went down. I was like, okay, they're all the way in now. They got this thing. Because people, every night, I started off, it was like my first event there was like 13 people I had show up to my PBR. Somebody did the PBR. 6 got the membership. 5 joined the business. And this is what we tell everybody to do. We tell everybody to make a list. We tell everybody to make a list. Everybody, make a list, make a list, make a list, make a list, make a list. And it's amazing how some people don't make a list. I'm not quite sure why they don't make a list, but they don't. And so we tell everybody the same thing. Make a list of 100. And so the significant thing about this, when I had the event here is that I had been in network marketing before. They had told me to make lists before. I just never did it. They told me to do it. So when I joined and I first signed up to be in Legal Shield, I could have told them what they were going to tell me. I could have told myself, okay, you ain't got to tell me all that. You're going to tell me to make a list, have some people in my house, talk to all my friends. I could have told them the rundown because I had heard it before. And you know why I've heard it before? Because it works. It flat out works every single time to start with a list, get your people on from the list on a 3-way call with an expert and get them invited out to an event. It works. It builds massive, massive results. But it is so difficult to take a concept that is so foreign to you and follow it, especially because we're not taught that in school. School doesn't teach us to make a list. Well, I mean, what grade did you learn to make a list? I mean, maybe your birthday party, right? You know, your mom said, okay, you can have your birthday party, and you had your little list of all your friends, and then she was scratching people off, like, nope, they can't come to my house. Right? I mean, but we learned that back then, but some of us, still, we get started in this business. Making a list is not natural. And then when they tell us to make a list, right, what happens when they tell us to make a list? Then we start to think, well, who should be on the list? And we start to judge and make decisions. I don't know if any of you have had that little voice in your head. And you're not crazy if you do. Everybody should have something that talks back to you, otherwise something's wrong. So you got a little voice in your head that always trying to tell you stuff. You try to tell it something, it's always trying to tell you something. And you had a little internal arguments in your brain. Right? Now, if you talk to the voice in your head out loud, that's what makes you appear like there's something wrong with you. So I have the conversations internally. I don't like, no, stop telling me that. See, now that's when, if I start having a conversation with my brain out loud, that's when it looks strange. Like, no, stop telling me that. Don't give me that idea. What are you talking about? See, that's crazy. But if I have it in my head, everyone does that. And what does the little voice say? The little voice, when I first got started, said, okay, they said make a list. And so I said, okay, let me write down Jimmy. But then the voice says, oh, no, Jimmy, man, you know, he works for such and such. He makes good money. You know, I don't think Jimmy's going to be interested. You know, or maybe we'll save Jimmy for later because right now, oh, all right, we won't put Jimmy. What about Eric? Eric's a little strange. And all of a sudden the voice is knocking out people on my list before I can write them down. And I'm like, man, let me just write them. And so what I had to do is I had to take that little dude and put some tape over his mouth to tie him up. Like, look, you can live here, but you got to be quiet. You got to go away. Because sometimes that voice is good. It helps get you out of some trouble. But sometimes you don't need to hear that voice. And I had to put that voice away and say, let me focus on what they asked me to do. Make a list. So I had to stop thinking. Matter of fact, the first piece of advice I got when I got in this business was don't think. I know it's crazy, right, to not think. I'm a human being, and they're saying don't think. He said, don't. He said, the minute you feel yourself thinking, you're doing it wrong. Now, understand, successful people understand the dichotomy of life, the duality, I should say. They know how to believe in two diametrically opposed things at the same time. So when I say don't think, see, unsuccessful people are one-track people. Oh, don't think. This guy's crazy telling me not to think. I was taught to think. I'm an engineer. I got a degree. How can I not think? Well, you're missing the point of what I'm trying to say. So you got to be able to understand what I'm trying to say on both sides of the fence. Of course, you've got to think. But I'm asking you to use that part of your brain that doesn't think. The part of your brain that controls your breathing, your circulation, your movement. You're not thinking about that right now. No one's thinking, okay, breathe in. Okay, breathe out. Oh, the white corpuscles. Please take the oxygenated blood. You know, none of that is going through your brain. It's just, your body is just functioning. It's not thinking, it's doing. I'm asking you to get to that level in the beginning of your business and to continue your business. You've got to get to a point where you really don't think about stuff. You just do stuff. So when they said make a list, I said, okay, I'm going to make a list. Don't think. So what am I going to do? If a name pops into my brain, I'm writing it down. Period. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to analyze it. If I spend 1 second thinking about that person, 1 second thinking about why they would or wouldn't get involved. Because sometimes we spend time thinking about why they would get involved. So we'll write down Jimmy. We're like, oh, Jimmy would be perfect in this business. And here's how I know people think. Because they'll call me and say stuff like, oh, I got this cousin. He would be perfect for the business. And they'll spend 20 minutes telling me about the cousin. And I'm like, okay, I could appreciate what you're trying to do. Can we just get your cousin on the phone? Your cousin may not even be interested. And so you build all this emotional interest into this cousin getting started or this coworker. And then we call them and then they deflate you. We call them and they say, oh, that's stupid. I had a friend that did that. And they hang up. You're like, oh. And we're hurt. But that was number one on the list. But number two on the list was interested. But because number one deflated us, we don't get a chance to call number two because we were thinking. So when we say make a list of 100, when they told me to do that, I said, okay, I'm going to make a list of 100. I'm making a list of 100. Some of you, I'm telling you this so you can start new today. Maybe you've been stuck in a certain position because maybe you started off like this, but now you haven't thought like this in so long, you haven't been able to move forward. You haven't been able to get past your hump. You're stuck at manager or wherever you are right now. So we want to get you out of that and get you to the next level. Does that kind of make sense? So the first step is that list of 100. That's what they told me to do. So I made the list. The second step was to contact the list. Now, my challenge was contacting my list. I don't know if you all have ever had that challenge where you look at your list and say, what's next? How do I pick up the phone and talk to a person? What do I say? And I get the question all the time, well, what do I say to a doctor? You know, I get that question all the time. You know, so doctor, I don't know how to talk to a doctor. Well, I got a couple of tips for you. You can write this down. When you're talking to a doctor. Doctors are people, right? So here's one of the ways you approach a doctor. Hi. Let's all try this. Because I know this is mind-boggling stuff here. Everybody say, hi. Now, most doctors will say what? Hi. See, most doctors will do that, right? So this is how you approach a doctor. Now, let's approach a successful CEO, right? Because CEOs, they're different. They think differently. They're very successful. Okay, we're going to try it again. Everybody say, hi. See, CEOs will say hi back, right? Because they're CEOs. Now, let's approach somebody broke. Hi. See, it's the same approach with everyone. We don't have to. Sometimes we overanalyze the approach. Saying, I got to approach a doctor. I need to approach a pastor. Should I approach him on the level of his necessity to give back spiritually and financially to the community? No. Say hi to the pastor. On the way out of church, say, hi, pastor, hi. They're going to say, hi to you. How are you? I'm great. How have you been? Great. Hey. And then in whatever direction you go in. Maybe then it may turn up when you say, look, I took a look at something. I think it'd be great if you took a look at it. Or, hey, pastor, I know it might sound crazy, but, you know, do you keep your income options open? Or, hey, pastor, let me ask you a question. Do people ever come to you and talk about legal situations and need help? Look, would you mind taking a look at this? Maybe we got something we can help. I don't know what you're going to say after the hi, but I know one thing. Once you say hi and you start a conversation, you end up finishing it. You're forced to. You ain't going to say hi and run. They say hi back. I'm scared. I got to go. Can't talk to you right now. I'll come back when I get a script. No, we talk to people. So we make a list, and then we talk to people. And then we get people on the phone with someone else. When I learned these three things, it skyrocketed my business because I finally realized that, you know what? It is about the expediency of me getting people from a list to the phone to an expert to a live event. When I figured that out, I said, this business is just stupid simple. A list to the phone with someone else and to a live event. That's it. Those are the three steps. You can talk about anything that we do, but that's really all we do. If you're in group, you got a list that you're going after companies. You get them on the phone. You either go talk to them or you bring some third-party documentation, and you have some type of live event, what? A group enrollment. If you're a small business, what are you doing? You make a list of businesses you're going to talk to. You get those people on the phone. You do all this other stuff you got to do to get in front of them, a live event, to try to sign them up. If you're a network marketer, what do? We make a list. We get on the phone. We try to get them on the phone with a third-party expert, bring some third-party documentation, get them to a live event, a sit-down, a private business reception, luncheon. That's all we do in this business. That's really it. It's really not much more than that. It boils just down. It's just that. It's just that little simple thing that continues to progress. When you derail or unplug from one of those processes, that's when it starts to fall apart. When you got the list, but you never get on the phone with anybody, or you get on the phone with anybody, but you never use a third-party expert, or you get on the phone and use third-party expert, but you never get people to events, it falls apart. That's it. So if your business is not growing, go back and look at those three things and say, what am I not paying attention to? Am I not doing these three things equally? Because you can take those three things, leave here, and instantly go to the next position. Because once you do it, now you duplicate it. That's it. You do it, and then you duplicate it. Once you do it, because here's what's going to happen. People are going to bring you their fears, their hopes, their dreams, and talk to you about why it's not working out, why it's not, the business is so tough for them, it's just so hard, I can't do it. And they're going to bring you all of that stuff. And all you can say to them is, you know what? Feel, felt, found. Hey, I know how you feel. I felt the same way. You know what I found out? I made my list, but I never actually contacted them, got them on a three-way call. Or you'll say to them, hey, you know what? I know how you feel. You know what I found out? I made my list and got people on, and I called people, but I didn't put them on the right three-way call. The three-way call is crucial, but it needs to be somebody that builds belief. What I found is that some people use people for three-way calls that don't build belief. They just share information. They just talk. And, you know, if I work hard to call somebody, get over my fear of making a connection, I want somebody that's going to work just as hard to build belief for my prospect. I want somebody that's going to share their story with excitement and enthusiasm. I don't want somebody saying, hi, Legal Shield is a great opportunity. You should take... No, I want somebody to say, hey, how are you? Oh, my goodness, have you seen the information? Well, let me tell you, when I first got started, look, here's what's going on. The presentation's phenomenal. The membership's phenomenal. We have a presentation going on Thursday night at the Salt Lake City. All right, this is what I want. I want somebody on the three-way that's going to build belief so my prospect wants to come to the presentation. Not somebody that's making my prospect fall asleep on the other end of the phone. Right? So if you're an expert, if you're a belief expert when you're on the phone, that's what I call belief experts on a three-way. You want to be excited. So that when that three-way call comes to you, that you can begin to build belief in the prospect for your associate. Does that kind of make sense to everybody? And so the reason I show this picture and I come back to this because when I got all that stuff down, I remember sitting home one night saying, I'm going to do this thing for real. And I just started blasting the phones. Matter of fact, I had my one of my mentors came over to the house, and I had my cell phone, I had my company cell phone, and I had my house phone. I didn't intend for it to go this way. Sometimes you got to start something, and then it'll just take on a life of its own. I didn't intend for this to happen. I just was going to make a few phone calls because I was so scared to death of doing a three-way. Anybody ever been scared to do a three-way? I was so scared to do a three-way that I knew if he was sitting right there next to me and if I had to do it, I knew I would do at least one. And so I did my first three-way call. And I called somebody and I knew I was talking too much because he kept tapping me like, all right, man, shut up. You're talking, you know, just stop it. And at some point he kind of, you know, when you stomp on somebody's foot, that's a real strong way of saying shut up. Right? Because I'm excited. I'm like, yes, it got started with this thing, right? It's called legal shit. You know, I'm just talking and talking and talking. And he's looking at me like, all right, hey, man, give me the phone. So finally, he's like, stop. I was like, oh, you want the phone? Oh, well, I'm actually sitting here with a gentleman who's very successful. And he's handing him the phone. I didn't know what else to say. I messed it all up. I didn't know what else to say. I talked too much, messed it up. I handed him the phone. And he fixed it. Like, really fixed it. He's like, hey, Mikel's excited. He just got started. He is so excited right now. He couldn't wait to talk to you. He was trying to figure out how to tell you everything. Look, this gentleman is going to be one of our next superstars. He is so fired up right now. But let me tell you a little bit about what we're doing. And he started to talk to the person. Now, I couldn't hear the conversation on other than the phone, but it seemed like it was going well. And at the end, he said, great, so you're going to come out to the private business reception we're having on Sunday? Yeah. He was like, and he got off the phone. I'm like, what happened? He said, oh, he's excited. He's interested. He said he wants to hear more about the membership and the opportunity. He'll come out to the private business reception. And I said, wow, this thing works. Like, this is a person that for a week I agonized about calling. For a week, what do I say? And then things would happen like this. It'd be 8 o'clock at night. And I'm like, oh, man, he's probably eating dinner with his family. I don't want to bother the brother right now eating dinner. Then it'd be 9 o'clock, and I'm like, well, he's done eating dinner, but now it's late. Now, you know, 9 o'clock, should I call people after 9? This is rude. What kind of man am I? I mean, this is my friend. I'm not trying to be intrusive. Let me call him in the morning. It'd be in the morning. Oh, man, he's probably eating cornflakes, taking the kids to school. Let me call him in the afternoon. Oh, man, he's probably at work. He took a late lunch. And I kept making excuses. And finally, I just called the man. He picked up, did a three-way. I said, man, can we do another one? So what I said, after the first three ways, I looked at him, I said, can we do another one? He's like, yeah, dummy, of course. I mean, he didn't say dummy, but I know he was thinking that, like, duh, why you think I'm here? And so I said, I did another three-way call, and it started to work, and I got so excited. I was pacing the floor of my little office. I mean, I was so excited that I actually grabbed my other cell phone, and I called somebody else while he was on that phone. I said, oh, my goodness, I got something you have to take a listen to. Look, I'm sitting here with a gentleman. He said, well, can I talk to him? Well, you can't talk to him right now. He's actually on the phone with somebody else that's excited. Everybody wants to know about this thing. But you got to wait. You got to wait, man. Hold on a minute. It might be a minute or two. You got to wait because he's talking to somebody else right now. But I'm telling you, it's worth the wait when you hear about what's going on right now. So the other person's on the phone like, all right, man, I'll wait. I'll hold. And so I'm listening. Ms. Calhoun was done with that first. I said, Ms. Calhoun, I got somebody else on this phone right here. Can you talk to me? It's like, sure. Had him on the phone, grabbed him on the phone back, picked up the phone and dialed him. At that point, there was another one of my mentors that was there in my home as well. I dialed another person and handed him the phone. I had two phones working and a third phone where I was putting somebody in like limbo. So they were talking to people and I'd get somebody on standby. Like, okay, as soon as one of them are done, I'm going to turn you over. And I was like, okay, okay, you up? Okay, you up. Go on, handle this. You get back to work. You wait for the next. I turned to a like the master or something. I went crazy. And it was so much fun. I was on fire. I was invigorated. I said, is this network marketing? I've been in this industry for 4 years working different companies, never made a dime, never recruited. I recruited two, no, I'm lying. I recruited one person in 4 years. I always say I recruited two, but that other recruit wasn't my recruit, it was the other person's recruit, so I got to stop taking credit. So I recruited one person. Ain't nobody in the room that bad. I recruited one person in 4 years trying it my way. And all of a sudden, I'm doing three-way calls, and I did four PBRs in those other companies, private business receptions, and nobody ever showed up. Four private business receptions. Nobody ever showed up. Here I am in one afternoon in an hour, and we made so many phone calls. When it was all said and done, I had 38 guests invited out to my private business reception. In an hour. 1 hour. No one told me that I could only invite 2 people. The blessing for me is that nobody set limitations on me. When I did that, they didn't say, wow, you're the greatest guy on the planet. No one, they was like, oh, great job. They didn't make me feel like I was super special. They just said, hey, you did a great job. In other words, that's what you're supposed to do. This is important because when I recruited people and they had 20 people show up to a private business reception, I was like, that's what we're supposed to do. We always have 20 people show up. To not do so would be strange. Why would you have 2 people show up to your private business? Are you trying to fail? Right? What are you doing? Right? This is what we do. We always have 10 people show up at private. Is it because we set the expectation, because I set the pace, everybody just, when they joined, they just thought that that was supposed to happen. If somebody had 5 people at a private business, they were like, man, only 5 people showed up. They actually felt bad. We made them feel good while we were there, like, hey, it's okay. But they actually felt bad because they knew it's just what we did to have 10, 20 people at a private business reception. It's just what we did to make 30, 40 actual 3-way calls to invite people out to a private business reception. It's just what we did. So because we set the bar that high, everybody just naturally thought, well, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we do. Does that kind of make sense? And so, but here's what happened from that. We invited those people. 38 didn't show up. 13 showed up. And everybody there wasn't, I'm getting in, or I heard a 3-way call and I believe in this thing. Some people was like my brother's friend, where it was like, look, I just need some more people. I know you're not interested, but could you just act like you're interested? So I had little plants in the room. I'm going to keep it real. You can do it. You can ask, a cousin or, your spouse, hey, look, I know you don't believe in this thing. Could you just sit here and act like you believe in me? Just smile. Oh, yeah. Just clap. Right? At the end, can you just ask for the app? Like, oh, can I get an application? You ain't got to fill it out. Just say, can I get it? You're not lying. You just wanted it. You just wanted to look at it. That's okay. Could you just play team, right? And so that's what they did. At the end of the presentation, my brother's friend, he was bobbing and nodding. I was like, oh, man, he's doing the right thing. Good job, boy. You're doing it. You know, that's what I'm thinking. I'm not doing the presentation, but I'm watching. I'm like, he's doing a great job. And at the end of the presentation, he's like, oh, the application. So got the application. He started filling it out. And I'm like, no, man, it's cool, bro. I mean, you did your job. He said, no, I'm going to get the membership. I'm like, but no, I mean, you really want the membership? Like, for real, you what? This is not part of the act. I don't want you to, afterwards, take it back. He's like, no, I want the membership. I'm like, man, you really want the membership. He signed up right there, one of my first members, signed up right on the spot. Say, oh, no, this makes sense. I had a couple other people that came out just to support me. Like, oh, I just come out. They said, I just come out to support Mikhail, but I don't know if I'm going to get it. I'm just going to support him. The people that just came out to support signed up right there. It's like, this makes sense. I think I'm in. And so from there, we built this little group. And so what happened is that we said, it's almost like the Dave Savola philosophy. We said, well, let's have a little meeting. And so because I had my first PBR there, I said, I don't know what took over me at that point, because this was a Sunday. I said, hey, by the way, Tuesday night, we're having another meeting right here at 7:00. Now, I didn't know that my sponsor wasn't going to be there to do the meeting. He was going back to Maryland. It just came out because there were so many people in the room. I had 5 people getting signed up in the business at the time. I'm jacked out of my mind. I'm like, man, we starting this thing next Tuesday. So 2 days from now, we'll be right back here. Y'all inviting guests. And afterwards, he told me, he said, hey, man, I'm excited for you. You know I'm not going to be here. I'm like, well, how are we going to have a meeting? He said, well, you're going to do the meeting. I said, but I can't do a meeting. I just got started. I don't even know. I don't know what the membership does. How am I doing? I don't even have slides. How you doing a meeting without slides? What do you do? Right? So he actually, I bought a slide projector, the old, like a shotgun slide projector, you know the old, right? And it got a load. Sometimes the shotgun gets jammed. I mean, not the shotgun. The slide projector gets jammed, right? And I bought one of them. And it's really loud in the presentation. Can you imagine every time I click it goes, and it's loud. And it has a loud, giant fan on it. So that's the only thing I could buy. So I bought one of those. We had some slides overnighted from Maryland from a guy named Chip who sent them to me. And I had them. And those were the slides that I had. And it got there Tuesday morning. And I did my first presentation in that building. Nervous, not knowing what to do. Fortunately, my parents had been running briefings for like ever in their other company. So my mom said, no, honey, so calm down. I got this little form, people to sign in. We'll get people seated. And I had to stand up and do my first presentation. And we had about, 30 people show up. And then the next week we had more people show up. It got to the point in this little building where it was just crazy. My neighbors were going crazy because they couldn't figure out what we were doing. So all these cars coming, constantly coming. It got to the point where the room could only hold 30 people, so we were doing a guests-only briefing. So if you were an associate, I had little speakers like that in other rooms of the office, and you could sit in another room and listen, but you couldn't be in the actual presentation room because we could only fit guests. So it's like, welcome out, and then you all got separated. Like, welcome guests, you come in this room, associates, go sit in the back somewhere and be quiet, we'll get to y'all later. And that's what they did. They would go sit somewhere, and we'd have, like, daycare, just drop your little kids off, and you go, right? And it was cool because they did it. They like, oh, okay, yeah. They just walked down the little hall and went and sat down. And we had their guests and we signed them up. And then afterwards, when we were done, they kind of met up with their parents again. And I mean, their sponsor, I'm sorry. And they met up again and then they would sign them up. And it just started to work. And it was just crazy because all of a sudden, and then it worked so well, we started doing on Wednesday nights, we would do calling parties. So I said, hey, you need to make 3 calls anyway. I'm going to order some pizzas. Can everybody show up on Wednesday? I'm going to order a couple. And so I would order a couple pizzas from down the street, and people would come over, and we'd do a calling party. And it started off with like 5 of us, and then we had to shut it down, the calling parties, because it got to the point where it was like 60 people every Wednesday in and outside of this building till 9 o'clock at night. We're just all out there making calls and we're walking around and everybody's on the phone and people start walking up the street in the neighborhood and they're on the phone all excited. The neighbor's like, okay, there's people walking around talking on phones every week. What in the heck are you guys doing? And then the briefings got insane and so we had to do 2 briefings. So we do the first shift and the second shift. And so we finally moved out of that building and got to a hotel and then the briefing shot up to 250 people a week. And it just got insane at that point. The activity level got insane. But it really started because I decided to stop playing with this and it moved forward from there. I set up a simple program. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Make your list, make calls, get people to live events. 1, 2, 3. That's the system we set up. And it's not a system that I invented. It was here before I got here. We just bought into the system. People fail. Systems don't. Systems, once a system works, it does not fail. People can fail, but the system won't fail. And the system can be taught over and over and over and over and over and over again. So, you would be very concerned if you showed up to church tomorrow and they was teaching from a new book. Right? When you be concerned, you walked in and it's like, oh, no, we don't have the Book of Mormon no more. Whatever you go to, the Bible, saying, whatever you go to, we don't have that no more. We got rid of that. The Torah, the Bible, the Quran, whatever you read, we ain't using that no more. We got this new book. Some guys got together and came up with some new stuff. Oh, y'all going to love it. You get up and walk out, right? And take the pastor with you because we're dumping him in some water, right? I mean, you can't teach from a new book. So it's the same thing with this business. The reason people fail is because they come with some new thing. Like, oh, no, I got this new idea. No. No new idea is accepted. My mentor told me, if you get a hot idea, go take a cold shower. That's what I was taught. Like, I would come to him and say, I remember Brian Carruthers, who's my... Yeah, it's Bert Calhoun, Darnell Sufkin, Brian Carruthers. So I'm in Brian Carruthers' organization as well. And I remember, having that hot idea, and he was like, no, you got to stick with the basics. That's a great idea. I know you got a marketing background, but you got to stick to the basics. Darnell Sufkin told me, man, you got to stick to the basics. Matter of fact, when I got started, my sponsor, he had an idea of how to do this completely differently than Darnell Self. And I remember he had Darnell Self on his call. We had this conference call together. And he was like, Mr. Self, I got an idea, man. Here's what we're going to do. And he broke this whole long, elaborate plan down on how he was going to take over the industry with this system and these dialers and all the stuff he was going to do. And Mr. Self sat there and listened. And he's so humble and he's so charismatic. He listened in a way that didn't make us appear like we were losing our minds. He's very nice about it. He's like, oh, yeah. He acted like he was listening, like he was writing stuff down. Oh, great idea. Then at the end, here's all he said. He said, my wife and I have been blessed to make about $30,000 a month. I said, okay. He said, so here's what I would do. Why don't you try it our way first? Then when you get to $30,000 in a month, you can change it. That sounds fair. So I could try it your way. See, here's the thing. One, that made sense. 2, do you know at that point in my life, something hit me hard. no one had ever spoke $30,000 a month into my life. No one had ever spoke that into my life, ever. I have had people speak $10,000 or $20,000 a year into my life, $50,000 a year into my life. Well, you can make $50,000 a year. Do you think if you were a Rockefeller, your great-granddad or granddad would be sitting down with you and saying, you know, one day you're going to make $50,000 a year? Not when you come from that kind of money. If you were Bill Gates' kid, ticking around with computers, son, you're great. One day you're going to go make a good $60,000 a year salary. Son, you're smart. Not if you're Bill Gates' kid. It's like, son, one day you're going to create something and sell it for $1 billion. That's the kind of talk you would get in the Gates household. Unfortunately, at that time in my life, I wasn't around people that were big enough to speak anything into my life bigger than what they had accomplished. So if my parents only made $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year, they didn't understand how to speak more abundance into my life because they had not experienced the abundance themselves. This is what happens oftentimes. We're regulated to a certain position in life because those around us have never achieved more. So all they can talk about is from their limited point of view, which is, hey, this is a good living. You know, check the check, or, you know, you at least there's retirement. At least you got your 401k. Well, at least you got the equity in your home. Well, something happened in the 2000s where most of that was ripped from us. No equity in the home, no more 401k. Something happened where people started to realize the old way of doing things had to change. Working 40 years for the same company and getting a gold watch at the end is a fallacy. It's like a unicorn. It's not going to happen. And something had to change. And when Mr. Self spoke that into my life, I'm so glad I was listening. Because there was other people that heard the same thing I heard but didn't listen. I said, wait a minute, this man is telling me I can make 30. I started doing the math on $30,000 a month, which is real easy. If you figure a month has 30 days, that's $1,000 a day. I'm like, wait a minute, $1,000 a day. Can you make $1,000 in a month? How many people agree we can all make $1,000 in a month? That's your job. I'm not even talking about legal shit. Because your job is just you putting in effort getting money. So I want you to realize that Legal Shield is just you putting in effort getting money. If you worked Legal Shield like you worked your job, you'd all be executives. Straight up. Straight up. Don't tell me, oh no, I don't know that many people. You'd find a way to know that many people. You'd find a way to prospect two people a day. Every last one of us would be executive. But the challenge is there's no boss in Legal Shield. There's only people that give you advice. And because of that, we choose to take it or not take it. At the job, there is a boss. There is definite, when you come to work, you have to do X, Y, Z, or you lose your job. You may come to work not knowing how to do X, Y, Z, but you sure learn how to do that fast. Like, I know how to do, because you want to keep that job. Whatever it is that you might do, you might not even like what you do, but you do it to get that check. So some people say, well, I don't like doing three-way calls, or I don't like doing this. You may not like it, but you're going to do it. Why? Because that's how you get your check. Does that kind of make sense? Got it? Oh, wow. You're doing it backwards and upside down. You are sharp. That's hard to do, to be able to think and coordinate your eyes like that. But anyway, so my point is, at some point, I sat down and said, $1,000 a month. We can do that. So if somebody can make $1,000 a month, can you conceive making $1,000 a week? See, as a child, I thought as a child. At 18, so let's say 15, 16, $100 a week was a lot of money to me. Because I was a child. I didn't know how much money was worth. I also didn't know how many hours you had to work to make money. So $100 a week was good money as a kid working spare time jobs here and there. But at some point, I grew up and realized that, you know what, I should at least be making $100 a day. I'm not a kid anymore, $100 a week. Time to step up to some adult income. So $100 a day is a little bit more than $100 a week. Would y'all agree? So if you can make $1,000 in a month, then it's easy to take your mind and say, I can make $1,000 in a week. Why? I'm just collapsing time frames. What does that mean? You need to do something that's more valuable to the marketplace than $1,000 a month to make $1,000 a week. That's all. That's what and you can do that individually in Legal Shield just by going on marketing memberships. You can make $1,000 a week if you wanted to. If you're a director in the room, how much are you getting paid as a director? $207. So could you market 5 memberships in a week? If you really wanted to, could you market? If you had 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. That means 40 hours a week. Can you find, by talking to people, following up with people, talking to prospects, going into business, could you find a way to somehow, after 40 hours, sell 5 memberships? Come on now. Could you find a way to sell 5 memberships after 40 hours? Everybody knows that. If I paid you, because how much would you make as a director? You'd make $1,000, right? If I paid you $700 a week to do that, and I told you exactly what you need to do, gave you your territories, gave you your list, and told you exactly what you need to do to get this $700 a week, most people would do it for the $700 a week, but wouldn't do it for the $1,000 a week that you would earn if you did it on your own. Because we're so used to a boss saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, do. We're so used to that, that that's how we make our money. The minute somebody says, do it when you want to, then our own personal whatever's kick in, laziness, whatever it might be, passivity, whatever it might be, that kicks in and we start to say, well, I'll do it later, I'll contact this person later. That's what begins to happen, because some of us got that thing called a job, and the job pays us, so we're like, I don't really need to do this, I'm already paying my bills, so because I don't need to do it, I won't do it. But here's what happens. Once you get to the point where you realize you can make $1,000 a week, something clicks in your head and you start to say, how far am I away from $1,000 a day? And when you get to that point, you start to really understand that sometimes we live on limitations. We really do. There are people in this world with money, lots of money. And it's not because they're greedy. It's because there's 24 hours in a day for everybody. Some of the people with lots of money, they've just figured out, how can I make myself worth more in this 24 hours than the average person? Most of them figure out how to do it through leveraged income. If I'm going out there working for my own income, I can only make so much money. But if I duplicate myself, now I can duplicate the kind of income I earn. So I can go from making $1,000 a month, but if I go out and find 20 people that can make $1,000 a month, that would take me to $1,000 a week. Because I got 20 people making $1,000 a month. And if I go out and find 50 people that make $1,000 a month, at that point, I'm at 6 figures a year. Because I've helped 50 people make $1,000 a month. And they're going out there living the opportunity, now I'm making 6 figures a year. It's real easy. So what you have to understand is that when you really apply yourself in the beginning, the self-sacrifice that you have to put in to get to $1,000 a month, then to get to $1,000 a week, at some point you duplicate that and your income grows exponentially. And it won't have a lot to do with you. It'll have everything to do with your team. Does that kind of make sense? Let me go through some of this real quick with y'all. So that makes sense, everybody? All right, that's all I had to teach. I'm leaving. It's real simple. So I'll just show you some of this stuff and then we'll move along. We'll move along. What do I do now, Mr. Hall? Help me. Oh, the highlighted yellow at the bottom. I don't see it. Oh, that one down there. Oh, hey, that's cool. So that's the building. This is important. I just threw this in here because this is the why. Everybody does crazy things. Here's what happened. This is 2001, by the way. So that's why the car looks all shiny and pristine. Here's what happened. And then my ex-wife wrecked it. But it looks nice now. Looks like she was driving it one day and slipped on someone and then we put it back together. But that's not why we got divorced. We didn't like each other prior to marriage. So that's a whole other conversation. No, we actually were best friends. We're still friends now. Here's my point. In the car, here's what happened with the car. Because, they said, well, put something on your wall that inspires you. And so I put this on my wall, on my screensaver, on my laptop. I said, you know what? I just want a nice sedan. I had a company car that they was already paid for. I had a couple of cars in the driveway that had, were paid for. I think I had one car note on my maximum. It was like $130 a month. So, I was financially, we weren't spending a lot on cars. But I said, you know what? I would love to have a car like that. So I saw somebody drive by one, so I put it on my wall, and within 60 days, I had enough money to be able to go and get, put a down payment in the car, and my payments were low, and went and got the car. So it just felt good. But what happened was very interesting is that because I went out and was able to do that, I had a lot of other people on the team that wanted stuff too. And so they said, well, this is before we had dream workshops and why trainings. We were just going organically. And so I had some friends of mine that joined the business, and they said, I want a car. I said, what kind of car you want? One guy said, I want a Diamante. I'm like, well, what color? He said, I wanted this car. I said, well, great. I said, well, what do we need to do to get it? And within like 3 months, he went and got that car. Then another young lady who's a school teacher, she said, I really want a Jetta. I said, well, what color you want? She said, I want this color, this interior. I said, great. Well, how much would that cost to make that payment? XYZ. Okay, well, let's go to work to make enough money to get the down payment so you can buy the car and be able to pay the payments without worrying about your check from your school. And so, and all of a sudden, in front of the little building I showed you before, we had like 9-10 cars, people really wanted. And they weren't Maseratis and stuff like that. They were the things that just made life a little bit better. Air conditioning that's actually cold. You know what I mean? Just stuff like that. So it was really cool. It was really cool. I loved it. That's Mr. Self right there, if you can't tell, sitting next to my mom and another young lady in the headscarf, which is really funny. Last night, this is really funny. I thought about this. Last night, that young lady's name, Mrs. Shahid. Last night, I get a text from her or a call, and I'm thinking this has got to be a wrong number because she never calls me. She's been in the business since 2001. I see her sometimes, but she doesn't call me ever. And so she called and she said, "Oh, hey, you know, I'm still an associate, right?" Like, yeah, you know, because she hasn't called me in years. Like, yeah, you're still an associate. She said, "Well, how do I log in? I got some people that want to sign up." I said, "Wow, okay, pretty cool." I said, "Well, how many people?" She said, "I got like 3 or 4, but then I got some other people that might want to sign up as well." I said, "Well, hey, be careful, Mrs. Shahid, be careful now." I said, "Because your organization already has 5 executives in it, and you got some open line stuff too. If you sell 10 memberships, you'd actually be a bronze, overriding about 200 memberships a month. So be careful and don't sell more than 9. Because you'll start making like $4,000 a month. So be careful. Don't sell more than 9. Because we'd hate for that to happen." So, and she started laughing too. She's like, "You're kidding me." I was like, no, I'm saying, because if you sold 10 memberships, that would make up the difference that you're missing executive buy every month, and you'd be making about $4,000 or $5,000 a month. So just, I don't want you to accidentally start making money. So just be careful. So, but here's what I love about this though. This is called the meeting after the meeting. This is the stuff that I didn't understand was important about network marketing. It just, we was hungry one day. This is kind of how it happened. It was after the briefing. And we were all hungry. I said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "Let's go to eat." Someone said, "Well, where?" Well, the only place that was open was Merritt Bakery on Lake Merritt in Oakland, which is about 15 minutes from where we had the briefing. And Mr. Self was in town that night. I said, "Well, Mr. Self, let's go eat." And so, now, of course, he knew about the meeting after the meeting, but we were brand new. We didn't know anything about the meeting after the meeting. So we went there, and it was about 30 of us that went to that meeting after the meeting. That meeting after the meeting grew to about 100, 120 people a week. The restaurant, and I don't know why somebody would do this. It's pretty dumb. But it was like, "Man, we don't know if we really want you guys coming here anymore." Because it's like 120 of you all at the same time, and my staff is overwhelmed. And I said, "Oh, yeah, sorry to be helping you make all this money, dummies." So we moved it to somebody who was much more appreciative. So we ended up taking over the whole restaurant. It was great. Had a lot of fun. That just shows you everybody sitting around. You know what's very interesting about this, by the way? Take note, because some people say things about their team. You start off with your family, people in your religious circle, and they're like, "Well, you know, how does it grow nationwide?" If I show you, the 80% of my team was African American because I happen to be African American, for those that were questioning. So, now that I understand my history a lot more, it's a lot more Indian than that, but it's all the same thing. Now that I've talked to my dad and he told me his mom was Indian, now I got the whole thing. So, if I show you later pictures, you'll see the complexity of the organization. Your organization will grow away from you, and it'll become this hodgepodge in this community of the world. It'll look like the world, where you'll just have some of everybody. And so people come to the Bay Area all the time. They're like, "Man, your team is so diverse. You got everything in your team." I was like, "Yeah, it's because we didn't, when we made our list, when we talked to people, we just let it grow. I didn't specifically say, 'Hey, guys, we got to go find some Chinese people.' I never said that. We never had that conversation." Because some people do that, like, "Man, we got to go find some black folks." No, you don't. It'll naturally, organically happen. It will just grow. You'll find people. I see groups of a lot of women say we need to recruit more men. I see groups with more men that say we need to find more successful women in the business. You don't actually have to look for that stuff. Because I go to some markets and say, "We don't have any women executive directors." Well, just recruit more people. And I'm not saying recruit more women. Recruit more people, and naturally a woman will become an executive. It's not something you have to go out and try to create. Does that kind of make sense? You just go out there and do it. In the beginning of my business, almost all my executives were women. There was only 2 guys, and the rest were women executives. So business seems can change with the wind. It doesn't matter, but that just gives you an idea of that stuff. That's us at one of our ED banquets. My mom and my stepfather there, and some of the other leaders on the team, and so we started off right away with some diversity. That's at one of the briefings. We had to open up the other room, so that was kind of cool. That's at a training. That was kind of cool. I can count. I can actually tell you right now, out of all those people who are still in the business, That's something else I get a lot, too. It's like, man, well, you know, how many people are with you that originally started? In a handful. I can count them on one hand. That's going to change. Your three, four people that are with you right now, kiss them now because you ain't going to see them later. Right? After a couple of years, they're done. Everybody has a shelf life. I don't know why people quit. Just like Mrs. Shaheed, I don't know why she doesn't still show up. Her organization is kicking tail. If she would just come around and put in a little effort, she would have been an executive. With her team, she would have been executive for the last 7 years straight, never missing. If she just would have stuck around, but for some reason, life got in the way, and oh, it's too hard, and my third leg's not doing a whole lot, and so she quit the business. But she kept her membership. So she's still an active associate. But it will change. People will change. The business will change. That's my wife and us taking them swimming lessons. Stuff I couldn't do with my other kids. Maybe that's why I put that picture there. I could do that with my little kids that are now grown. I couldn't take them to swimming lessons. I was always at work. And so we were able to take them to swimming lessons and get them enrolled in stuff. Mr. Self and I, we were able to do stuff for the team. Building culture. This is building culture. We were able to just say, you know what, we're going to take the team, we're going to get a limo, and I know you all do this stuff here. We got a limo, and we just went out to San Francisco and Treasure Island and just did a whole tour, hanging out with the team, just having fun, enjoying ourselves. We've done spa dates, we've done all types of stuff. Sometimes we've done stuff just like a barbecue, like we did last night. Just having everybody come over, let's all eat, let's all barbecue, let's hang out. Just building culture, spending time with the team, getting people to know each other. That's how you get people to stay around long term. The people who have stuck around the longest are the people that come to the barbecues and build culture. People that don't come to stuff because they don't feel like we're family, so they don't stick around long term. So to not show up, I'm not trying to harp on the barbecue, but to not show, because I know some of y'all drove a long way. Some of y'all drove 2.5 hours to come to a barbecue, went home, and then came back. So trust me, I was talking to my team on my mastermind call, like, man, there's people that drive 2.5 hours for a barbecue. Y'all can't drive an hour to come to it. So I used y'all last night. In a major way. There's more pictures inside the limo. I didn't sort these pictures. I've used a slideshow for something else. Oh, this is me and the Founding Fathers. Because I felt like they needed to know how I felt about some stuff. I was giving them some advice. So I was talking to some of these gentlemen. We had some real great conversations. I know where this was. I took my family to New York, Philly. We just did that whole East Coast tour of all the states that mean something. And so... Right, I mean, I didn't go to Rhode Island and stuff. I mean, I'm from there. I'm not going back there. My wife and I in front of Sylvia's. That's a famous comedian, Michael Collier. We met him there, and then he invited us to the show that night. We went and hung out with him. And then that's Sylvia herself. So when you go to Safeway and you get the barbecue sauce, Sylvia's, that's Sylvia. She actually sits there all day, greets people, and she's a sweetheart. So I was able to take my wife, hang out, and do some stuff like that. Some of these pictures I just fly through because this is just random pictures. Oh, look, it's us. It's me, right? That's one of our incentive trips, hanging out. That's Kai Deering in the back with a glass in her hand. She's not drinking. ATV, we're hanging out on the ATV, hanging out, doing stuff. My wife and I, we had to do a photo shoot for our wedding because my wife is an event planner, so we had to have this creative book. So we could have gotten married. This is the most beautiful city in the world, and it wouldn't have cost us a lot of money to get married here, but she wanted to get married in Portland, where she's from, so we had to have a destination wedding, which costs a lot of money to fly back and forth 5 times to plan a wedding, then to finally fly back to have the wedding. But, you know, I wasn't able to do that kind of stuff. Prior to Legal Shield, my wedding was like a little wedding at the house in the basement with some flowers and a fireplace. I mean, that's where I was prior to this business. But because of the business, I said, babe, what do you want to do? Where do you want to get married? How do you want to get married? How do you want to decorate it? I let her do all of that stuff herself. And that's my kids as well. Notice most of my pictures have the two littlest kids because they're always with us. We're always out having fun, and they're just as crazy as my wife is. So they all blend very, very well. That's my wife's mom and my mom hanging out. That's my wife and I. Don't say nothing about the hat. I'm not trying to hear it. That just, it fit, and I wanted to put it on. Right. That's us hanging out. We're freezing cold. So there's that. Ghirardelli. It's our wedding. I'll just show you this real quick. The Meckies. My wife did all this stuff. My wife was, she wanted to get married again, like intentionally. She's like, let's do it again. I'm like, no, we're never doing this again. This wedding consumed our lives. She was every day, she made every one of those letters and painted them different colors on the inside and glittered them. And everything you see, the fabric you see, we bought a roll of fabric like this. I have ties made out of that fabric. I have so much stuff made out of the fabric. I can, if you want to, whatever you want out of that fabric, I got it. Trust me, I can make a dress. So she did all that, the invitation. She did everything because she just wanted to do it. So that's where we got married. Great place. And, my boys. Yeah, that little one, he's on another planet. He's the funniest kid ever. My daughter and my niece hanging out. And then it's just us with the wedding party, greeting people, hanging out, our kids dancing, stuff like that, the parents dancing. Oh, that's Mr. Self dancing. Yeah, Mr. Self, Mrs. I don't even know how they got there. I don't even know when they left, but they were at my wedding. Because he didn't call me and tell me. He just showed up, and we hung out for a couple of days, and then he just got on a plane and left, and that was all she wrote. But they came and hung out. So great wedding, great time with the family. You know, going to see plays. My cousin was in Wicked, the new Broadway production. Then he came to San Francisco. Then he went somewhere else to L.A. He was in that. And just on and on. The team, moms, everybody graduating, hot dogs, stuff like that. Oh, this is really cool. Because we had our destination wedding, we were on this TV show in Portland Wedding Style, and that particular room, every president since, I think, Truman has stayed in that room. So every president, that's a presidential suite. So whenever they come to Oregon, they always stay at the same hotel in the same room, every single president. So I was like, for real? Like, all the presidents stayed here? And so I'm crazy because I'm like, so they slept in this bed? And so I laid in the bed. Like, they sat in this chair. I sat in the chair. So I started feeling like the presidents. So I'm like, oh my, this is cool. Right? So it was exciting for me. And so they filmed it there. My wife took me for flying lessons for my birthday. I always wanted to fly. And, you know, but it costs money and time and things of that nature. And so she saw my dream board because I put all stuff on my dream board. And so she takes stuff on my dream board and then puts it into my life. And so this was one of the things she took on my dream board and surprised me and said, hey, let's go do this. And so we were able to go do that. It was really cool. I flew over to San Francisco area, and my kids were at Google, bowling, all this other stuff. You know, once again, team night. We rent out a coffee shop. We still build culture. After all these years, we rent out a coffee shop, and it probably costs us, you know, $300-$400 to rent out the coffee shop on a Thursday, Friday night, Saturday night, and we just have all the team come there. We hang out. We make dream boards. We have the guest speakers. So like if Mr. Hall was to come into town, we'd rent it out, and he'd do a Q&A there, and we hang out and do stuff. And so, you know, just having fun with the team, the stuff we've been able to do. That's my middle son. He just turned 18, graduated high school. Hanging out with us. I took the ladies on the team to a spa day, so that's a couple of executives on the team. Took them out and hung out with them. That's one of our associates. She was the host of The Biggest Loser Australia, and then she moved out here, and I forgot what she does out here now. They always treat us good when we go places, give us plaques and stuff. Morgan gave us that plaque. That's kind of cool. Parents. My wife and I, we're the softball parents for the team. And so we were able to make every game, hang out. We do stuff for the kids, give them awards, stuff like that. You know, my parents, when I was growing up, couldn't even make my games. It's like my father, I played baseball from time I was 7 to the time I was 13. He never could make a game because he owned a company and he had to always be there at his company. My mom worked 9 to 5, and then when she got home, she was tired. So it may seem insignificant to you, but it's so significant to me to make every sporting event, to be there, to be cheering my children on and to see them do things. And I'm soft. So if like when my daughter hit her first home run, I'm crying and oh my God, you know, and everybody's looking at me, why are you crying? I'm like, I don't know. Just emotional. My son, he wanted to be in Hollywood, so we had him a Hollywood premiere movie party at the theater. I didn't know you could actually rent out a part of the theater and do birthday parties, but my wife finds all this stuff out and does all this stuff, so that's a bunch of the kids hanging out, and my wife did all the cakes and decorations. She has a lot of free time, so she does stuff, and so we did that for him. That's my wife in front of her decorations and all the stuff. I'm hanging out with Mr. Mason many, many times, getting a chance to hang out with him and do stuff. And this is Oklahoma. This is us at the team, you know, hanging out, you know, building culture. This is important. When you go to a team event, oftentimes the team leader will say, hey, we're going to meet here, guys, and go do this. And I find people that will miss that stuff and say, I'm going to go eat here. I know the team is meeting here, but I don't like this kind of food. I'm going to go eat here. And what they miss is it's not about the food. It was about the team being together. Or the team will have like a breakout, because that was like our mini breakout. Instead of us getting in the room, we just met there and ate, and then we kind of recognized and did awards. But sometimes the team will have a breakout session, and somebody will say, oh, I'm going to miss the breakout session. You're missing the most crucial parts. When you go to an event, like for those that are going to Palm Springs, when you're at an event with everybody. But you got to have the event where you come together with your cohesive leadership so you all can look each other in the eye and make some recommitments. So you all can say, you know what, guys? We're coming back and we're tearing this thing up. Because it's great that another team might do that, but if you all don't do that with your leadership, then you're just a spectator and not a player. And so I always tell the team, the people say, oh, I don't like pizza. I said, it ain't about the pizza. Get a salad for all I care. We just want you to be around a family. In these type of events, people that never met each other before get a chance to meet people. So then somebody said, oh, you're from Chicago? I got an uncle in Chicago. Can I get your card so my uncle can talk to you and get into business? All of a sudden, people say, oh, you're running for director? I'm running for director. Maybe we can be workout partners and run for director. See, these type of events are where people start to come together. They start to form family bonds. And what happens, now they look forward to seeing each other every year. I got some people that I don't talk to event for whatever reason because they're so busy, but I know they're going to be at every event. And they come to every event so they can see all the other people they don't talk to. And they're making money, but for whatever reason, they're working with other leaders in their market, and they got people to help them, so they don't really need me, even though they're part of my team. But when we get together, we love these events because they build culture. Culture building, if I was to add anything to the 1, 2, 3, it's the culture aspect. That's a crucial element in everything we do, is building culture, hanging out with your team, having fun. Of course, you know, hanging out with my family. Once again, us being crazy. Hanging out. Don't say nothing about the glasses I have on either. I'm waiting for Mr. Hall to say something because he's thinking it. This is why I got involved with Legal Shield, actually. Twisted is the movie that my partner and I wrote and produced and filmed and edited and did everything humanly possible. Only thing I didn't do on this film, we did four films because I didn't do the camera work on this. I did do camera work on one scene and then it got cut out. But they said it was too racy. It was not racy. But anyway, it really was. It was so PG, it was ridiculous, but they still cut it out. But in this film, we did it. And the reason I got involved with Legal Shield is because even though I was forced to get in, I had spent so much money producing this film that I had ran out of money. And I didn't know any other way. And when someone said, I can make $1,000 in a week by joining Legal Shield, I said, this is God sending me my way. I can't work overtime on my job and make an extra $1,000. I can't go apply for a job and then get the job and then work and make an extra $1,000 because that's going to be weeks away. And this film was in the sound studio, Disher Sound in San Francisco, which is owned by George Lucas. These people don't mess around. You owe them money, you can't get your stuff out of the can until you give them the money. Bottom line. And we had a film festival coming up. We had stuff on deadline, and I needed $1,800 to get this film out right now so I could take it, get it all packaged up, and get it to the film festival. Well, I joined Legal Shield. I got the money, and I was able to take the money to them and get it. So I kind of joined for that reason, but it kept me in the business. And so to see this on TV like 6 years later was really, really cool. We watched it. That's actually me right there complaining about something. It was cool. So that's why I took a picture of that. It just reminded me of my why. And because of this opportunity, we've been able to do other film projects because now the money is not the issue anymore. Now I can do it because I love doing it. See, before we were doing it to eat, and when you're doing it to eat, sometimes you do it out of desperation, and so you take shortcuts because you're trying to hurry and get stuff done. But when you can do it because you love doing it and the money is not the issue, now you can make a great product and do some great things. And so there's a bunch of stuff that we've worked on. My partner has a sports app that he's been able to go out and pursue right now. It's called Heckler Sports. It's really, really cool. But our passion is film and entertainment. So he's doing his sports app so he can sell it for $1 billion and he get back to doing film. And so I'm in Legal Shield because I love Legal Shield, but I can at the same time, I can still pursue my other interests. I can still do film. I can still produce and write and do all that other stuff. So that's kind of cool as well. My son, he was in High School Musical. And so his hair is short in this picture. He was playing the Corbin Blue character, and then right after that, he let his hair grow out, and now he really looks like Corbin Blue. Wow, his hair he's got a lot of hair on his head, all over his head, stuff like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so he did that. That's him. My daughter was in a pageant Little Miss America pageant, whatever, I don't know. Oh, National Miss America pageant. So that was pretty cool, being able to do that for her. So my wife and I hanging out. My daughter, when she hit the home run, look at the stands. I mean, you know that's going out. It just she clocked that thing, and it was gone. And she got her trophy and all that stuff. Really, really cool. Us hanging out in Chicago. My wife is like Marilyn Monroe, so I had to take a picture with a big version of my wife because my wife is little. So that's why I took that picture. She's like 4'11". So that's the pageant. It was really cool to see. This pageant was, it cost a lot of money. A lot of money to do a beauty pageant and a lot of time and then to go down there. But this pageant, it's very interesting. I put this in for you. This was a defining moment for my daughter because she totally came out of her shell. Like completely having to be in front of people and talk and do the interview portion, walk along the stage, have a talent. And my daughter was more of an introvert. I almost wish I could put her back in her shell now because she's so out of her shell, it's ridiculous now. She's the most talkative, funny. This little person was hiding inside because she had an opportunity to go do something great. And because she had that opportunity, now she's done something greater. But once again, see, and that's why it confuses me when people think when we're talking about Legal Shield, we're always thinking about money. It's not about the money. It's about the things that you can do with the money, the lifestyle you can give people, the experiences you can have. And I just don't know if I'd have been able to bankroll all of the stuff that went into putting her in a pageant. You think little girl pageants are expensive. Try big girl pageants, right? So that's my daughter doing that. She didn't win, but she got a lot of trophies, stuff like that. So we had a great time. I took them to Rodeo. And so you've got to take a picture under that sign when you're in Rodeo, right? So who's talking about you going, right? I was talking to somebody today. Take a picture under that sign. That's the coolest spot in the world. You got to shop right there. That's it. That's it. That's where all the movies are shot, right there. His wife's grandparents be able to go to his 86th birthday. Proud of my wife and I getting married. She never was able to really go back home and spend time with her family. When once she moved to the Bay Area, she never had the time or the money to go back. And now we go back like every 30, 60 days. You know, we'll go back up and hang out. Her mother was, her grandmother was, they told us she had a month to live last month. Said she has a month to live. And my wife was like, well, you know, I guess we got to get ready to go to the funeral. I'm like, go to the funeral? I said, she's got a month to live. We just need to go up there. So I love it. I love it. This is my favorite grandmother. We got to go up there and spend time with your grandmother. She has a month to live. So I sent my wife for 10 days. And she spent and she spent 10 days with her. And then I went up and I spent like 4 or 5 days with her. And just being by her bedside, talking to her, hanging out. She's telling her stories about her life. All this stuff was really cool. And then we left. She passed away like 2 days after we left. But some people were trying to find flights to go see her, like her sister who makes big money, was trying to get a flight to go to the funeral, but she couldn't take time off of work to go enjoy her life before she passed away. But it was about the money. It was about the, because if she had the time and the money, she would have said, I'm out, I'm going to see my grandmother. She had to wait until her passing, as most of the family did. A whole bunch of people went to the funeral, but there was only like 4 or 5 of us by her bedside every day because we had the ability to do so. And so sometimes we don't realize how important life is until we're put in a position where we got to choose our money over spending time with somebody at the end of their life. And so I was just so appreciative of us being able to go hang out with her. Matter of fact, oh, there she is right there. Yeah, it's Grandma Towson right there. So we were able to hang out with her and do some other stuff. Why do we got a picture of the cannon? Oh, because her father worked on that cannon. I'm like, I didn't remember that. But yeah, he did work on that cannon. And it's cool. That's a museum. In that museum, it's really crazy. My wife had never been in a museum before. And we're driving by and said, oh, my dad worked on the cannon. His name's on a plaque. And then my wife pointed at the house and she said, oh, that house right there, that's my great-grandmother's house that she grew up in. It's in the museum. How do you have the plaque, and you've never been in a museum? So we were in the museum, her great-grandmother's wedding dress is in there, along with all these dresses from San Francisco and all over the world. It's all types of stuff. So it was really cool to be able to take her, because she hadn't even experienced that stuff, because she didn't realize that it was all that stuff was in there. So that's all of them. We're hanging out. I took the team. We do stuff. We went to Benihana's and hung out and had some food, hanging out with Mason again. Remember I said the complexity and diversity of the team? I mean, you could already see right there, we couldn't fit everybody's face. That's only a quarter of the team. But just, it changes. I can count on, there's only one person in this picture, that was in the original picture of the team from 10 years prior. There's only one person. Sometimes when we build this business, we're holding on to people and one person quits and it destroys us. Like, I lost that one person. They left me. I don't know if I can go on. Or we chase the one person. So you got two people here that are in. They're in your business. They're running with you. They're at the event. But some of you are thinking about the one person that didn't show up today. That the person does not deserve your attention. Maybe you had nobody from your team show up today, and you're the only person that showed up. Well, guess what? You're the only person that deserves your attention right now. You cannot be thinking about the people that are not here right now. Because you're not taking notes for you. You're trying to figure out how you can help them. I got to tell them about this. No. What you need to do is go find some more people that will show up. Because when people quit, guess what? They quit. They fall into witness protection. Anybody got anybody in witness protection program? Right? They join that thing. They put you on caller ID watch. They got features now on your phone where it can send you the voicemail the minute you dial if they don't want you to dial them. They can say, oh, no, I'm going to send you the automatic voicemail. So now they don't even have to see that you called them to mentally mess with them. They can just say, I don't want to talk to you anymore. So when I look at the organization that we built, all the executive directors, these people have come through people who have quit. So when somebody quits, I don't get mad, especially if I dug through them so they left us with somebody. Does that kind of make sense? Good stuff. Let me wrap up. Alan Furness, our t-shirts, we hanging out. We're on a train. going to, oh, Victoria, Canada. We went up there. That's really pretty. If you haven't been up there, that's one of the most gorgeous places in the world. Hanging out in the gardens, it's that just incredible. Oh, so my wife and I, our family. She had my wife did a model thing, and so we had to do some video. Not a model. She was in a beauty pageant, Miss America beauty pageant, something like that. And so we had to do that. Those are actually the covers. I designed that album cover. I didn't design that one. I hate that one. These are some of the albums that we've been able to do prior to the business, but I was able to go back to some of that stuff because money as an issue was out of the way, and so I was able to go back and relive some of my hobbies that I had to give up, or some of the businesses I used to be involved in I had to give up because of my job and because of Legal Show. I've been able to kind of do some of that. Not a lot of it. I was able to do this. I was the breakfast with an expert. So I had all these kids. They brought me in as an expert, and they do this. Once again, I had all these kids come in at the local middle school, and I was able to talk to them for an hour. And I thought it was, I thought it was during class time. This is at 7 o'clock in the morning. So these kids actually come to school an hour early to learn from an expert. And it was packed in there with kids. And afterwards, they were coming up to me asking questions. And so some of the stuff I'm showing you, I prepared for them because I was talking about lifestyle, vision, freedom. What is life? What do you see your life being like? Things of that nature. But it was a great time. And it was very nerve-wracking because kids, they don't wear a lot of emotion on their face sometimes. So you don't know whether or not you're exciting them or boring them to death. And so afterwards, they all come up and they were trying to hug me. I'm like, don't hug me. That's a lawsuit. Get away from me, little kid. Right? Right? You can't touch kids. You cannot touch kids. They were like, oh, let me hug you, Mr. Megan. No, don't hug me. Just shake my hand, baby. But, so anyway, that's what happened. So it was great doing that. Breakfast with Expert. Oh, there's me. All right. CEO, author. I hadn't finished my book yet, but my wife thought, it would sound good to say I'm an author. I'm like, don't say that. But she did it anyway because she doesn't listen to me. So that was that event there. My son, he was in a write-up. There's my wife in a pageant. And so, everybody's taller than her, as you can see. But she did well. She actually won the pageant. I think she did such a good job. They asked her a question. They said, was there ever a time? They set her up because they asked everybody else good questions like world peace and what would you do if you could solve the earth's problems? And then they asked my wife a question. Have you ever dealt with a problem with low self-esteem? And my wife just laughed. She's like, come on. You're talking to me? And so it just didn't work out. It was funny. She was like, no. And then that was the end of it. So, right? Because how do you answer that question? Like, no, I don't have that problem, so why are you asking me? So it just, she's very confident. So that's what happened. So that's the pictures we took there. That was great. And so when she didn't win, they were mad. People were yelling. It was like, boo, but it was okay. We had a good time. Actually, the lady that's standing right next to her with the hair, the poofy hair, she actually won. And she's a sweetheart. Ashley's a sweetheart, and then she competed last week in the Vegas competition. So that's us hanging out. My son just graduating. Back to the beginning. So. Everybody good? Make sense? Done? I'm sorry. Sent it to black, but you can just, all right, good. So, I share all of that with you all because in it, there's some training obviously in there. What I learned through the process is what I thought I was getting into is not what's happened in my life in the last 10, 11 years. I thought originally, it changes. Originally, I said, okay, I'm going to get the membership. Then I said, okay, I'm going to join the business. Then I said, okay, I'm going to make enough money to get the film out of editing so I can go. But I was only getting the film out of editing to go to the Hollywood Film Festival and submit the film. So I thought my mission was done in Legal Shield. And then I had some people that joined. I started having fun. I said, okay, this is great. This is a great way to make some extra money, not quit my job. Makes it because nothing in my life said quit my job. It said work the job. And then it went from making a little extra money to saying, wait a minute. It took me a minute to realize I was making $6,000 a month. It really did because I had my job's income coming in and we got paid every day. So I wasn't really watching the balance in the bank. I wasn't really tripping. I was just working my business. And at some point, matter of fact, you know when I really realized I was making money? This is really stupid. But it was when I got my 1099 after my first year and it said $62,000. And I looked at that and I was like, what? I made 60 grand doing this thing in my spare time, just helping people. And I thought about how hard was it this past year, going to presentations, talking to people, eating, gaining way too much weight. How hard was that? This was fun. I said, I can keep going on. If this is what Legal Shield is, I'm quitting my job and I'm doing this thing. And it was one of the best and scariest decisions I've made. It was scary because the first day when you don't have a job, it is a little scary because you don't know what to do. You wake up like, okay, what do I do? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? Do I lay in the bed? What time do I get out of bed? Do I do this? Do I do that? Trust me, at some point you'll create a routine. And then at some point, one day will blend into the next. And now years go by like this. They fly by. But I still don't have enough hours in a day now. I'm doing so much. But it was scary at first because I realized I have to control my own destiny now. I have to go out there and do something. But when I realized now I have all day, every day to help somebody else pursue their dreams, it changed everything for me. So that's kind of my journey over the last 11 years, and gave you some of it in picture form as well. Actually, October will be 11 years. And so it's been a great, great journey. We've made great income. We're close to the Millionaires Club. How close? I don't know, because I don't care to look at those kind of things. I suspect they'll call me and tell me, but I'm not looking to figure it out to the dollar. I'm just running as hard as I can. I don't want to limit myself on what I'm trying to do. I just want to continue to run and build and have a lot of fun with the things. That kind of makes sense to everybody? So that's my basic bulk of my training, and what I want to do right now is open it up for some Q&A to give you all some things, and that way I can maybe share some things with you all that you all really know. But now that you have my story, the other reason, by the way, let me tell you why I show the pictures, because I want you to know me. I want you to know my kids, because I think it's very important. Just like, I want to know your children. I want to know your family. I want to hang out with you all. That's what I love about the barbecues. Getting a chance to meet everybody's kids, running around, doing stuff is cool. I mean, I met Mr. Hall's daughter briefly, but she was crawling. And I was like, oh, this is the cutest little person in the world. I had a chance to see her, and that bright little smile. I mean, I'll never forget that. You know what I mean? And so 10 years from now, when she doesn't remember me and just walks past, I can say, I remember you when you were little by. But, but at least I'll know. I have that connection. That kind of makes sense. And then, y'all kids stratting me off the chain. But that little boy, if y'all seen him, I mean, he's the cutest dude. I sent a picture to my wife. I said, this little kid Stratton, he's the cutest kid ever. And I had to send a picture to my wife, and she was like, oh my God, he's so cute. But, I love children. I love family. I love being around people. It's the coolest thing in the world. And so I want to show you all those pictures so you can kind of get a glimpse of the fact that I'm a real person. That I have children too. I have a wife. I have hopes, fears, and dreams. And that's why it's important for all of us to know each other like that. If we don't see each other as human beings, if we don't see the humanity in one another, sometimes we don't work as hard. Sometimes we do treat this like a business too much, and we don't treat it like a family because we don't know each other like that. But when we know each other like that, we start to bond. We work hard because we want everybody else to succeed. The other reason we work hard is because we know if we're going through an affliction that someone is going through a similar affliction. If we're having a hard time in our business, somebody else might be going through that. And if they make it through, then we say, wait, if they can do it with their kids, their challenges, if they can make it, I can make it. But if we don't put humanity in it and we see everybody as different from us, when we go through something that makes us want to quit, we'll think we're the only ones. I promise you right now that many of you all share the same challenges and don't even know it. But some of you are thinking about quitting because you think I'm the only one that knows three people. I'm the only one nobody wants to sign up for my membership. I'm the only one my family doesn't believe in me. I got 13 brothers and sisters. How many of them did you see in those slides? Zero. You didn't see one relative, brother or sister, in any slide that I showed you over the last 10 years. Not one. Why? Because they're not in. I can't even get them to keep the membership for 6 months. You know how many times I got to call my brother, like, hey, man, could you stop letting your membership cancel? Man, I don't need that membership. And then he'll get it, and then let it cancel again, and he's just the one I can at least get to get it. My sisters will not get the membership. I don't need that membership. That's stupid. I don't need it for whatever reason. I don't understand it. So I have the same challenge that many of you all have, but we fight through it. Does that kind of make sense? Good stuff. So let's do some Q&A. We'll take a couple of questions, and then I'll fill in the blanks where I can. Any questions? Yes, sir. Oh, awesome, awesome. Well, first of all, that's a great suit. I really like that. Sharp, sharp. It really is. She told you to wear that? Yeah. Right? She's like, yeah, I told you. Right. Here's the thing. It may be working for you to not do that. Don't get me wrong. Because some people, they have a way, and I haven't figured that out yet. I know some people that they have something, some script that they do where the person will call and then they'll call afterwards. That, to me, that was overly complicated. I didn't understand it, so I've never done it. I just was taught that it's so, that to simply get a list and call the people prior to the private business reception by putting them on the phone with my sponsor or my expert. If I did that, the ratio of people that will show it will improve because they're committing to somebody other than me. See, my friends, I've invited to my house before, and if they don't show up, if they fake on me, it's going to be okay because we're still friends. You can be inviting a friend of yours to go to a game or something like that. And you know, if they don't show up, then you're still friends, a birthday party or whatever. But when they commit to somebody that's a third party expert, when I get somebody on the phone and I have edified to the nth degree, you've got to meet this gentleman. He's been able to have earned all his income. You've got to come out and see him. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get him on the phone for just a minute. I just want him to share his story. He's going to be at my house. Right? And then I call Mr. Udi and he gets on the phone. He shares his story. When they fake, they're not faking on me, they're faking on him. And so they're saying, well, you know what? I did tell that gentleman I was going to show up, so let me go ahead and show up. Because, but it wasn't me that they committed to. It's easy to fake on a friend because they're still friends. You're not going to not talk to them ever again if they don't show up. But when they don't show up for somebody else and it was a business appointment, it changes the game. And so we just said, hey, look, you know, you got to invite four times, and this is a huge number here. Four times as many people that you want to show up. If you want 10, you've got to invite 40. Now, I know some people say, I don't want 40 people in my house. I hear that sometimes. I don't want. Yes, you do. If you did get 40 people, you would not be complaining. Trust me. You might think you complain. Oh, I don't want 40 people in my house. You would love it. The energy would be electric. You would make so much money. You would find a way to make them fit. You'd go out in the garage and get some lawn chairs. You would figure out a way to make 40 people fit in the house. We did one PPR one time. We had over 90 people at a house for a private business reception. 90. When I pulled up, I had Mr. Self in the car. When I pulled up to the private business reception, I'm like, oh, wow, they must have something else going on here. Because it was on a cul-de-sac. And so I said, oh, maybe they're doing another event here. And I'm like, all the people going into that house. Wait, that's the house we going into. We walked in there, and we had to do crowd control to get through the people. We had to, Mr. Self had to stand at the top of the, he stood at the bottom. We had people on the staircase, people in the living room. We actually did it in shifts. We said, okay, we got these group, come here. The rest of y'all go in the kitchen and hang out in the backyard. And then once we finish with them, we're going to shift and have the new group of people come in. And even after we were done, people still kept coming. See, we went so hard on those three-way calls. Mr. Self was coming to do this private business reception, and this has never happened before. It never happened again. You got to get people. And the young lady was calling people, where there was one or two people on her team that started calling people, and I think somehow some other people found out. But my point is, it was about 40 of those people were the guests of one person, about 40 of them, because they made so many calls. Her organization is just boom, exploded. She shot straight to director. She had a whole bunch of other people that shot up with her. Then we broke an executive director in that organization because of private business. Because when you see a private business reception like that, you don't want to see anything small. Like two people is like, what happened? So your brain, see, once the mind expands, it can't go back. So once you've seen something at a certain level, you can never go back to that other level. It's a different feeling. And so to get people to do what you need them to do, sometimes you got to give them a bigger vision of what they're trying to accomplish. And so with the three-way calls, what I tell folks is I tell them, look, my first few private business receptions that I did not use three-way calls. And I had zero people show up. Then I tell the same story every time. That's why if you haven't had a successful private business reception, or if you're new, you want to have a success story right away, because now that successor is going to fuel your new person. And you're able to say things like I'm able to say. I tell the same story every time. My first private business reception, we invited 38 people. 13 showed up. 6 got the membership. 5 got into business. But I tell it the same way. We invited 38 via three-way call. 13 showed up. So we invited 38 to get 13. If I had invited 13, I would have probably gotten 3. And that may have changed the whole outcome of my story long term, because it wouldn't have been the fire in the beginning. Maybe I wouldn't have made enough money to get my film out of editing, so therefore I wouldn't have been passionate enough to stick with the business. See, the whole dynamics could have changed had I tried to do it my way. But because I did it the way the leader told me to do it, it just started to perpetuate itself and explode. Does that kind of make sense? So the three-way calling portion is real. Now everybody's going to do it differently. All I simply tell people to do is call somebody up. And I tell them, my script is not even a script. It's words. It's one word to give you the idea of wherever you want to take it. So the first word is, when you call somebody, the first thing you should say to them is ask them if they have 5 minutes. I always ask if somebody has 5 minutes. See, Dave Zavola says, you know, you have about 15 minutes, someone on the show, you may or may not be interested. That's how he sets a presentation. That's how he gets in front of somebody for 15 minutes. Well, when I'm trying to get in front of somebody, I use that script. But if I'm just trying to talk on the phone to somebody, I just ask them if they have 5 minutes. Because I don't need the 15 because I'm not in front of you right now, but I do need your 5 minutes. Because 15 is a long time over the phone for somebody if they're not actively engaged. So I ask for 5. The second thing I ask them. Now, here's why I also ask for 5. If they're bathing their baby, I don't want to be trying to talk to them about legal shit and they bathing the baby. Right? They cooking dinner, you know, whatever. They vacuum it. I don't want to do that. I was on the phone with a young lady the other day, and she was at the grocery store, and she was talking to the butcher and doing. And I'm saying, the person that got me on the 3-wheel with this person, she even said it when she got me on the phone. She said, oh, by the way, she's at the grocery store right now, and then just clicked over. I'm like, well, this is not going to work. The lady's at the. I know how hard it is when I'm shopping. I'm focusing on stuff. I'm reading, looking at the prices per unit. Am I getting the best deal? And I got somebody in my ear talking about something I don't really. That's not fair. So I always ask for 5 minutes to make sure they got the time to listen. Also, just let them know the seriousness of the situation. You got about 5 minutes because I need 5. And if they say, no, man, I'm right in the middle of the game, well, look, let me call you back. But they say, oh, no, I was just finishing cooking dinner, I'm eating. Well, let me call you back. When can I get 5 minutes of your time? So 5 minutes. The second word I ask is open. Open. Now, you can take that however you want to take it. Are you open to an opportunity? Are you open to the membership? Are you open to hear some information? Are you open to just hear a story? Open. I just want to find out if they're open to hear something. If they're open. Because they may say, what is it? Say, look, are you open to hear something? You know, here, just a couple minutes. I need you to hear something. Are you open to take a listen to something? Are you open? Look, I'm excited about something. I just want to share with you. Are you open to listen? And they may say, well, what is it? How does it work? Well, are you open? Do you have the 5 minutes? Because if you don't, I can call you back. And then the third step is the 3-way call. Here's how I get people on, because some people have trouble getting people from the question part to the 3-way call part. Because here, when you talk about doing a 3-way call with your prospect, here's what they hear. You're about to get me on the phone with the closer. You're about to get me on the phone with somebody that's going to talk my ear off and belittle me, try to make me buy something. I don't want to spend no money right now. Leave me alone. I didn't need it before you called. I don't need it after you called. This is what they hear. So you've got to tell people the rules of the game. You've got to let them know. By the way, sometimes I'll tell people, I say, by the way, I'll say something like, let's say I'm using Mr. Hall. I'm saying, look, are you open? Great, great. Ryan, look, I'm working with a guy named Mr. Hall. Phenomenal, phenomenal gentleman. Look, I just want you to hear his story because what he's been able to do, he's about to help me and help a whole lot of other people do. I don't care if you're interested or not. I just want you to hear his story just in case you are or know somebody who might be. And he might say something like, well, no, man, I don't want to talk to him. I say, oh, whoa, you really got this mistaken. This guy's not the closer. He's not about to belittle you. Look, he's going to make 6 figures a year whether you say yes or not. That's not why you're getting on the phone. I just want you to know what's going on so at least if you hear about it later on, you can never say I didn't tell you so. I just don't want you to ever be mad at me and say, why did you tell me? I just want you to hear it for yourself. They may even ask you a question. They may say, well, why can't you just tell me? Why does he have to tell me? Well, because I'm not making 6 figures, dummy. Right? I mean, you can talk to your friends like that, right? You can say, well, because he's making money, I'm not. Or they might say, well, why can't you tell me? Well, because I just got started. I'm new. I have no clue what I'm talking about. All I know is when I heard it from him, it made so much sense. I just want you to hear it from the source. Look, you want 50% of information or 100% of information? You want the facts or you want fiction? I want facts. Okay, well, great. Well, then you need to get on the phone with them then. You see what I mean? It's real simple. And so there's no way out of it. And then sometimes people start trying to ask me questions, and I'll say stuff like, you know, the 5 minutes you've been asking me questions was the 5 minutes you could actually got the answers from somebody who knew what they were talking about. So we can stop playing a round-around game. Look, and if you're really not open, that's fine. Just say that. I'm cool with that. But I'm not doing a presentation. I'm getting the person on a 3-way call. Now, here's the challenge. When I get the person on a 3-way call, the 3-way expert has to say the stuff. They can't get on there and kind of fumble the ball. They can't be on there for 20 minutes. They got to be brief. So your job as an expert, if you've never been an expert, let me help you out. You're just telling your story. You're not spending a long time. You're not breaking down a membership. You're not talking about the 5 areas of coverage. If you say 5 areas of anything, we're going to hurt you, right? That's not your job. You're not talking about identity theft. You're not talking about, we offer a legal plan with identity theft as well. But let me tell you a little bit about my story. Bam, bam, and your story is short. I got started. People want to know. I have some this in my life, this dissatisfaction. I got started. Here's what I've been able to change. That's what people want to know. It's just like a movie. It's all warm and fuzzy. Some traumatic trauma in the middle. Then there's an ending. That's what people want to know. Every book you read, it opens up. It was worst of times. It was the best of times. A bunch of stuff happens. End of the book. That's how it works. We do the same thing on a 3-way call. Here's who I name, my background, what I used to do, why I got involved, the dissatisfaction. Here's what I found out. Here's how my life is now. Look, if you want to find out about more, we're having an event, your Thursday night, da-da-da-da, done deal. That's the expert's job. That's it. Then we get off the phone. So that, and we're inviting to a private business session. It's the same script. We're just telling the story and saying, look, here's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be at Mr. Burns' home on Sunday at about 6 o'clock. So here's what we're going to do. Why don't you come on over and take a look at the information? I'm going to be there, and I might even say something. If somebody's like really, really sharp, or I can tell they got kind of like a chip on their shoulder, I might say something like, look, I know you're sharp. So here's what I'm going to do. After I finish the presentation, it takes about 30 minutes, I want to step off to the side. I want to talk to you one-on-one. Because I know you're sharp, and I know you're going to have some good questions, and I want to make sure I give you some one-on-one attention. So maybe if you want to get there a little bit earlier or right afterwards, you and I could talk one-on-one, and we could really talk about some real money. And then, bam, that's done. You keep doing that enough times with a new prospect's people. Because, look, new people, you're going to talk to your people anyway and mess them up, so you might as well just let us help you. You're going to do that. I hate it when people tell me, oh, I haven't talked to anybody. I promise you, you've talked to somebody. You just don't want to tell me the miserable result. Everybody. I even ask people at the briefing now. I say to them, look, I was talking to a young lady yesterday. I said, look, when you get up, who are you about to call? Because I know you're about to get in the car. Nobody can drive without talking to somebody, right? Remember the time you used to be able to just drive your car? And everybody got to talk to somebody. Some people die before they even start the car. Like, who am I going to talk to on my drive? And so I know when you get up from this chair, you're going to call somebody tonight at the briefing. Who are you calling? Oh, I'm calling Cynthia. That's my friend. Call Cynthia right now. Let me just prevent the disaster that's about to happen. Because you're going to call Cynthia and just blah, say all this stuff to her. And then Cynthia's ruined for you, me, and the next 10 people that try to prospect her because you said all the wrong stuff. So do you want Cynthia in your business? Yes. Let's call her right now. Let's call her right now. Well, I don't know what's... That's exactly why I want you to do it in front of me. Because all you're going to say is, Cynthia, I'm at an event. I'm so excited. You've got to hear something. Just hand me the phone. I got it. I got it. And I'll share my story. It's like, oh my gosh, your friend is sitting right here. She just got started. She said you were the first person she had to tell. Look, are you open to it? And then I'll do the, are you open to the opportunity, da, 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 because that's the friend. But once I, if I can get somebody to do that once, then I can get them to start to believe in a three-way calling process. The hardest thing is to get somebody to do their first three-way call. It's one of the hardest things. When you get three-way calls out of the way, all of a sudden the business just starts to take off because now everybody's talking to somebody that's qualified to say something. What happens a lot of times in organizations when it starts to fall flat, recruiting falls flat, is because everybody's talking to people that who aren't qualified to talk. And so nobody's getting the proper information, which means nobody's making the proper decision, which is to get involved with Legal Shield. That make sense? Good stuff. So, okay, thank you for the question. Anybody else? Another question? Another question. Over there. I'm not looking. Oh, over here. Yes. Great question. So how did I divide live dials between going out and prospecting? I compartmentalized everything. So and I do the same thing now even in fitness or whatever in my life. I know that between these hours and these hours, I'm at the gym doing X, Y, Z. I got this. I got everything. If I don't set up a routine for everything I do, I won't do it. Now, some of you all are good. You can just do stuff and whatever. I got to set up a routine. When I go to the gym, I know when the minute I walk in the door, 5 miles treadmill. I know that. You know, 1 mile on the stairs, 5 miles on the bike. That, I mean, it's no thinking. Because if I think about it, I'm not going to do it because I do not want to run 5 miles. So I can't even give it any thought. I just know this is what I do 5 days a week. And I just do it. And it's like, bam, 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 bam. And I just do it. So that's already in my brain. So it's the same thing. 2 exposures a day. That was always there. Like 2 exposures a day. Every day, 2 exposures, 5 days a week. No matter what, 2 exposures. I don't care if they're good ones. I don't care if they're bad ones. I'm going to do them because at some point they'll get better. So that was one of my things, because what I found is if I at least talk to 2 people a day, at the end of a week, that's 10 people in 5 days that I got to follow up with, call back, and I can incorporate them into my live dials. So 2 exposures a day. 2. Now, if you want to get good, set a timeline to get it over with. So maybe you're saying 2 exposures by 10. So 2 by 10. So by 10 a.m., I'm going to have my 2 exposures done. Because by 10 a.m., you should have already gotten your morning coffee. You on the way to work, you got gas, passed by a bunch of people, did. By 10 a.m., you've already came in contact with 2 people that do not know about Legal Shield. So the 2 exposures, and exposures are simple. They're not difficult. I don't walk to somebody and talk to them for 4 hours. I might see somebody and say, oh, man, that's a nice tie. That's sharp. Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, great. And they might compliment me on my time. Like, look, by the way, what do you do for a living that you dress that sharp? You give them a compliment. Oh, I do this. Great, great. Well, look, I know you're busy. I'm busy. This might even sound crazy like a shot in the dark. But as successful as you are in your life right now, so I say stuff like that. So they're like, oh, wow, I'm not really successful. Thank you. But that's, but you know, I say that to people. As successful as you are in your life right now, do you happen to keep your income options open? And see, I love doing it on the fly. Because here's why. He may say, well, yeah, well, what is it? Look, I got to run. See, I love doing it when I'm on my way somewhere. Look, I wish I had the time to explain. I got to run. You got a business card or what's the best contact number to reach you on? I'll get you some information. I'll text you and get you the website. Oh, yeah. Well, here's my card. Look, man, great meeting you. Give me your name again. Man, look, great meeting you. We'll follow. I just got to run. I really wish I had the time. Boom, I'm done. That's one exposure right there. That's it. One exposure. Right? Some of you all, you know, you go to functions, you go to things, you go around people. A good book to read is called Endless Referrals by Bob Berg. Endless Referrals, excellent book. Excellent book. Because the number one mistake that we make when we're doing our two exposures a day is we're trying to overexpose people in our two exposures. We're trying to, you know, and we think it makes us sound smart sometimes to go over the membership and talk. We are so passionate about Legal Shield, we want everybody to know about it. It's my job to educate people about Legal Shield. Nope, that's not your job. It's not. You have to change your thinking. It's your job to expose people. You can't educate somebody on a street corner in 2 minutes. You can't do that. And I see people do that all the time. They say, oh, I met somebody. And I walk by and they're standing there. I went to a luncheon the other day. The luncheon's in the back. There's a guy in the front that met a guy at the bar in the front of the luncheon. The luncheon's in the back. And he's giving them the business about Legal Shield. I'm watching him. He's like, oh, man, this and that, five areas of coverage. And, oh, man, yeah, you could use it. I've used it for this. And he's just going and going and going. And I'm thinking, why didn't you just say you're eating lunch anyway? You haven't ordered yet. I'll pay for yours for free. Come back to the presentation. Why didn't you just expose him and then bring him to the information? Instead, you tried to be the information. It's very difficult to do. A commercial is a 30-second commercial to go get you to watch a two-hour Spider-Man movie. A commercial is not 2 hours. You ever turn on a commercial and it's a two-hour commercial? We're going to show you the whole movie so you want to come see it. No. We're going to show you a commercial, a snippet. So maybe you got your 30-second story about how you use the membership. Oh, what is Legal Shield? Let me tell you, I had a legal situation, da-da-da-da-da. I did this, this, that, man. It worked out phenomenal for me. There's so many ways you can use it. Look, I'd love to get you some information. That's okay, because they know that it exists, but not giving them all areas of coverage and how it works and how identity theft works and all the things that we do and how long the company's been around, the Heart of Stone Cipher and a car accident. That's too much. I love the Heart of Stone Cipher story. I love Heart of Stone Cipher. But I'm not telling that on a street corner. I'm not talking to my coworker in the next cubicle and having that conversation. I'm just simply exposing. And it's a sweet deal because now I can walk away with posture. Like, I'm busy. You're busy. I want you to take a look at something. I'll get back to you. That's it. So the two exposures a day, number one. Just do two. And if you can't commit to two, then you might want to rethink your ambitions in Legal Shield. Two exposures is too easy to expose two people a day. It's way too easy. It's way too easy. Anybody can do it. In the beginning, my exposures kind of looked like this. I'd have a business card or a DVD. That was an exposure. In the beginning, I was that horrible. I wouldn't even talk to people in the beginning. My two exposures? They'd be like, what is it? Oh, it's for you. I'm serious. Gas station, it was easy. I'm like, oh, hey, oh, that's for you. No, take a look. I just want to take a look. No, it's for you. I give those out. How many calls did I get? Zero. But you know what? I got my two exposures. At least I got my two exposures. And then I got a little bit better. Excuse me, sir. This is for you. Right? I got a little bit better. Then I got to the point where I could say, hey, excuse me. Might sound crazy. Nice car. You obviously make great money. You wouldn't have to keep your income option. And then I got better and better and better. And all of a sudden I began to have conversations. And now I'm at Starbucks. I'm stirring my coffee. Somebody's next to me. It's like, hey, how are you today? Oh, I'm great. How are you today? Oh, man, incredible. Man, it is beautiful. Isn't it 1 o'clock? What are you doing out walking around at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? You must own something. You to not be at work today. And I said, oh, I wish I owned something. That's just my off day. I only get one day a week off. Wow, really? Yeah, man. So what do you do for a living? I do this. Oh, wow, okay. I have a cousin. And we start talking, and law of reciprocity, at some point, they'll say, hey, by the way, what do you do for a living? And I'll tell them and say, oh, you know, matter of fact, here, let me do this. You wouldn't have to keep your income options open, would you? Well, yeah, I've been looking for stuff. I'm not a stranger anymore. So we had a conversation. Now I'm able to, boom, that's an exposure that day. And I walk away. And I keep on moving. And I just keep on going and keep on growing. Two exposures a day. Just all the people you know, 2 exposures a day. See, you got to understand something. When you expose someone, it does not necessarily mean that's the person you're looking for. Give you an example. I exposed a gentleman, and he came to a presentation. And came to the presentation, and I'm so excited because I got a guest. He's sitting there, and halfway through the presentation, and I think he was Darnell Silver, Burke Hale was doing the presentation. Halfway through the presentation, the gentleman's phone rang, and it went like this. Hello? And he's in the front, second row on the right, left. And this is exactly how I look from the back. So all of y'all at the briefing with Darnell Self. Hello? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I could be there. I'm on my way. He's not whispering. No whisper. No, you would think, yeah, okay, I'm in a meeting. This is so rude. No, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm on the way. You at airport? Oh, man, I'm right down the street. Oh, yeah, I'll be there in a minute. I'm at this little thing. And all the people watching my guest talk on the phone walking out of the briefing. And I'm sitting there going, if this man, I couldn't get up and chase him because then they would have known it was my guest. So I had to act like that was somebody else. I'm like, man, look at this guy, right? Who bought this idiot? I had to act like that because then I'd have been the one, right? So he leaves. So I'm infuriated. He never even came back, just left, never came back. I'm so upset. I see him a week later at religious services of all places. I walk up to him. I park my truck right in front. And before I can say anything, he said, oh, yeah, how much was that little thing? This is what we call it, the little thing. Legal shoe. How much is that little thing? He said, oh, sign my wife up. Threw the money on the hood of my car. Said, yeah, sign my wife up. I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to let my wife do it. Now, I had a choice at that point. I could have postured up, had an ego. You don't talk to me like that. I said, man, what's your wife's name? I was like, because she obviously got some sense. You don't. Just give me her name. Right? He signed her up, got her number. I called her. I went over all the information with her. She's like, I'm in. Yeah, he told me about it. I'll do it. Had a PBR at her house. 4 people showed up. He kicked me out. He really did because he was mad I was at his house. He said, why are y'all in my house having this event? Well, you signed her up. I don't want people doing this in my house. Y'all got to leave. Kicked us out in the middle of the private business reception. We got kicked out. So I'm signing people up on the way out like, man, this man is crazy, right? But on the way out the door, one of the persons got started, a young lady. She got started. Now, the young lady that got started and the young lady whose husband signed her up, the young lady whose husband signed up called me and said, I can't do this anymore. Our kids went to school together. And she said, I can't do this anymore because, you know, my husband doesn't want me to do it. Okay, that's fine. But she left me with one young lady. This one young lady introduced me to a married couple in L.A., now, this married couple had some issues, i.e. they hated each other. And I found out once I went down there because when I went to sign them up, I was filling out one application and they were like, we need 2 associate agreements. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? I said, we're not going to work together. I said, but don't y'all live in the same house? Ain't y'all married? They kind of looked at each other. Maybe they knew something I didn't. Like, they weren't going to be together long. But they was like, well, we'd rather do it separately. He does his thing. I do my own thing. I'm like, well, you know, you can only sign up if you sign up under the same sponsor. It's like, we don't care. We just going to be separate. We'll pay separately. We'll sign up separately. So I signed both of them up. Mind you, this came from the idiot that threw the money on my car. Signed both of them up. Both of those legs have had executive directors. The husband's leg has had 1 executive. The wife's leg has had 2 executive directors. Both of those legs. From the 2 exposures a day, just exposing like I'm supposed to. From the person that threw the money on the car and said, just sign my wife up. From the person that kicked me out of their house on a private business reception, right? To the couple that hated each other and signed 2 separate associate agreements. To the executives that are still, to this day, those organizations are still kicking tail down in Southern California. Right? Huge. I say this to bring up a point. That doesn't make any sense. This business makes no... If you try to rationalize how this happened and this happened and then this thing happened and I recruited this person, but then I met this person at the supermarket and they introduced me to their cousin who just happened to be traveling from Idaho, who signed up, who knew somebody in Florida. You can't script out your success. It is impossible. Imposible, if I was speaking Spanish. It's impossible. You can't do it. You just got to follow it. You just got to work the business. Stop trying to figure it out. See, what happens if we get one recruit and then we start mapping out our future with the one? Oh, see, this guy's going to, you don't know what that guy's going to lead you to. And then you got this person who looks like they're never going to do anything. And you know what? This is your star. This is the stud. This is the person that's going to take you to the promised land. But you don't know that because you're trying to be an oracle and read into all of this stuff. How do I know this 2 exposure a day is going to make any difference? You don't. That's the fun part. You don't know which day. You might expose 2 people a day, 5 days a week for a year, and only one time does it lead you to the masses. But you don't know which day that year that's going to happen. So what do? 2 exposures every day. You have no choice. Just do it. Just do it. I love it because I don't know. See, because I know how the game works now, I don't know which surprise person is going to lead me to everybody I'm looking for. So that's what I love about the game now. When I get a new recruit, I don't know. Like, I just recruited this one couple in Pacifica. Their house is beautiful. It overlooks. When I was sitting down doing a gameplay interview, all I saw were hang gliders and those parasailers kept floating by the window. Floating. And I'm like, this is so freaky because they're looking in the window as they're flying by. It just really tripped me out. Because they take off from the hillside and they're overlooking the San Francisco Bay. They're just right there on the water. And people are just flying by on these little hangouts and they're eye level. That's how high we are up in the air. And it's just eye level on this hill that they live on. Beautiful. Great couple. She just works for a startup internet company. They make big money. I went to elementary school with her. I have no idea. They might be the biggest stars we've ever seen and they might not sell a single. Well, they've already sold 5 memberships. But it could be the end. I don't know, but that's the fun part. I don't know who they're going to lead me to, but I don't know who they're not. I just don't know. So that's why you just have fun and enjoy it and believe in the possibilities. That make sense? So 2 exposed to everything. So, but if I didn't put that into my system, I wouldn't have had all these experiences. The other part that I had to put in my live dials, I had to just say to myself, I was going to dial from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock 3 nights a week. Period. My kids knew it. I made an announcement to the world. Because I didn't want if I came home and it was 7 o'clock and I wasn't dialing, I wanted my kids to be able to say, Matthew, here's what I did. Not only did I put the time frame, I put the reward with the time frame. The reward was Disneyland. That was the reward. It was Disney World. If daddy does what he's supposed to do, we're going to Disney World. If I do what I'm supposed to do and build this thing with the extra money, we're going to Disney World. So when 7 o'clock came around, those 3 nights a week, and I wasn't on my way to make those calls, they were like, Dad, how are we going to go to Disney World if you're not doing what you said you were going to do? So it forced me to get in gear when I put the reward at the end, not the consequence for not doing it, the reward for doing it. So sometimes you got to give yourself a little carrot, like a little treat, like a little child. Just put a little treat out there for yourself. Say, if I do this, I'll get this. Tell your spouse, hey, look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work the business these nights a week, and this is what I'm going to do. But at the end, this is what I'm going to do for you. You go to your children and say, I love you. I've been playing with this thing for far too long. I'm tired of just always being the guy that says he's going to do something. I'm tired. Every time they say manager stand, I'm like, oh, here we go again. I'm tired of that. I want to be at the front table with the napkins and the mystery bags. Right? Some good stuff in these bags. Y'all have no clue, right? You said, look, I'm tired. You know what the difference is with these people and those that aren't? It's just a decision. That's all life is, the decision. To finally go out and do what we say we're going to do. To finally go out and take all of this stuff. And so once you put it in a time frame, once you set a time frame to it, say, okay, between this time and this time, I'm doing this. Between this time and this time, I'm doing that. Once you do that, you'll be amazed at how your business begins to grow. Because now you start to put the time element to everything that you have going on. Does that make sense? So we'll take one more question and we're done. Yes, sir.
How many presentations do you do for a new person's prospects and people before you start delegating that responsibility?
Well, great, great question. Here's my philosophy. I give somebody the responsibility when they take it. Because I used to just make people do stuff, but sometimes I'd be making somebody do something that wouldn't. And here's what I mean by take it. I can tell when somebody's ready to take it. I can tell because I'll do a presentation and I'll do little things like I'll say, hey, I gotta take this call. Can you do this part of the presentation? Or I've gone to a PBR before and I told them, hey, you know, I'm on the way. I'm in traffic, even though I'm sitting outside. I'm in traffic. Can you open up and do the first part? And then I walk in while they're doing it. I'm like, wow, they're really good. So I try to do little things to put them in a position where I can see their skill level. But once somebody has it, they got it. I'm like, you have got it. You have figured it out. You know how to do a flip chart now. Or I'll go to a sit down. I'll do a couple of flip chart presentations. Then I'll say to them, okay, this time I want you to do this. Just do the membership portion. And sometimes they'll start with the membership and they'll be rolling. They'll look at me to take over with the money. I'm like, well, you're doing such a great job. Keep going. I'll just sit there and sip my coffee and let them do the presentation. Because once they do that, they have the confidence to know they can do it. Then they're done. They're like, I got it now. I don't need help anymore. I figured this thing out. I can make it happen. We can go from there. So that's kind of how I delegate the leadership to people. And it's beautiful because that's what you want. You want an army of people out there doing sit downs. You want an army of people out there doing PBR. You want an army of people out there doing three-way calls. You don't want to be the only one running clear across town to do every sit-down, every private business reception. You want to have Starbucks. Like in our area, any given day, you can walk into a Starbucks. You're going to see somebody from our team or from our marketplace doing a sit-down. Because we finally got the 1, 2, 3 leaders to stop doing everything for everybody and starting to teach other people to do it. And now I can walk in, and I love it because I walk in, I see people doing sit-downs, I see their flip chart out, and I just kind of wave from the side, and I walk out because I know they got it. And sometimes I'll even go over and give a quick testimony. It's like, oh, y'all talk. Hey, let me introduce myself, bam, 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 and I'll leave. So I give them a little more ammunition. But I love it because now it is duplicated to where now people are really utilizing the tools, the flip charts, the DVDs to make sure things happen with the business. Look, as I wrap up, you know, here's what I found out that really makes all the difference in this business. And everything starts with your philosophy. If you don't believe that Legal Shield can give you the type of lifestyle that you want, your philosophies dictate your attitude dictates your activity, and your activity leads to your results. Here's the challenge with most people. They say, when I get the results, then I'll get my attitude correct. I'm down in the dumps right now. I haven't sold a membership. I haven't recruited anybody. My results are dismal, so my attitude is dismal. So when I get better results, when somebody finally buys this stupid membership, when somebody finally joins my team, when my team finally gets off their behind and does something, you know, when my spouse stops ragging on me, when this happens, when that, whatever, this is what I hear. People always look at the results to determine their attitude. But results come what? Last. Results always come at the very end of everything you're doing. Do you know how frustrated it is to have the backwards philosophy that results come first? Or like a quick second? That's what most people think. I'm going to do this and the results right here. And that's the society we live in, the microwave society. Well, I put this in the microwave, it's ready. I pour water on it, it's ready. I pull up to the drive-thru, it's ready. That's the society we live in. Nobody wants to wait for anything. People want to just go from start to six-figure income. And if they don't see that happening quickly, I know none of you think it's going to happen overnight. But if you don't see it like materializing in a quick couple of months, you start to, your anticipation starts to dwindle. Then you start to not believe. And then you just kind of start. And you can trudge along for 3-4 years in our industry. Because we got events and stuff you can go to. And we play team. We have family events. And so you can be here 3 years but not here. It looks like you're here, but you're not here. You're just a shell. It's like, oh, I'm here, but I'm not really here. Why? Because you're still waiting on a result. You're waiting. I'm waiting. I just can't wait. Maybe somebody come along and fire me up. Maybe somebody come along and maybe one of my team members will go out and recruit a superstar. And I'm just going to hold on. It's not going to happen. If it does, you're one of the fortunate few. It's not going to happen. You know what has to happen? You got to start with your philosophy. How do you understand that this will make you more wealthier than almost anything else out there right now? What we have is the opportunity of the 21st century. No, nobody can compete with what we have right now. You're like the guys that sat in the room when they came up with the concept for Kaiser. That's what you are. You're like those people. Matter of fact, one of my associates did a presentation a couple of weeks ago at an event, and one of the great-grandsons of Kaiser was in the room. And afterwards, he came up to him and said, man, this sounds like what my grandfather started. He said, well, who are you? He said, Kaiser's my grand. I said, for real? Like the real Kaiser, Henry J. Kaiser? That's your grand? Yeah. It sounded like what he started. Same concept. You all in that same position. So the philosophies have to come together. Like never, you got to get your philosophy wrapped around it. This works. This is worth my time. This is worth the sacrifice. Maybe I have to give up something. Matter of fact, the last thing I want you to do is write down, after you heard all of this today, what are you going to give up to go up? Name something that is stopping you from getting to the next level right now. Is it watching TV? Is it, you know, hanging out too much, comic books, video games, going to the movies, you know, spending too much time in the gym? I know there's something that you can get rid of to give yourself an hour a day to work this business. It may have to be playing golf. It may have to be bike riding, mountain climbing. It's something that if you just took away for a little while and put an hour a day of Legal Shield, that you could have everything you want if you really went after it. What is that sacrifice going to be? Because once you get the philosophy right, you say, okay, you know what? This is it. I got it. I'm going to the mountaintop. Nobody's stopping me. I believe in this opportunity. The philosophy is going to lead to your attitude. Now you wake up in the morning, your attitude is better. Now you leave this room today and say, you know what? My philosophy, I know I'm taking this to the moon. It's not just for the guy on stage or for the people on the front row. This is for me. Then your attitude is correct. Now you, when you go to do your two-a-day, you're a different two-a-day person. You're not, are you open to an opportunity? You're like, hey, are you open to an opportunity? Why? Because your attitude's correct. And when your attitude is correct, it leads to more activity. Because now you're getting excited about the morning time again. You're excited. And when your activity's correct, guess what? It leads to results. All of a sudden, it's changing. And you're saying, man, everybody's saying yes. This business is working. Everybody's saying yes. Everybody's saying yes because you changed your philosophy, which changed your attitude, which changed your activity, which led to better results. The people around you didn't change. You changed. The people around you are not going to all of a sudden start saying yes because there's a commercial on TV. They're going to start saying yes when you change. The commercial is only going to make them want to look at it for people like me who have a good attitude. But if you have a bad attitude, they can see the commercial, but they ain't going to do business with you because your attitude is bad. So we got to work on a philosophy. That kind of makes sense? So I appreciate the time to be able to spend and share and give you all information and insights that was embarked upon or shared with me for many, many years. The journey you're going to embark upon is phenomenal. Philosophically, if you get your mind right, I tell you, everything else will fall in line and you'll be in a much better place. And so let me wrap up by bringing back up to the stage your superstar. Please stand if you can welcome to the front of the room, my good friend, your good friend, Mr. Dave Hall.
Thank you very much. Hold on one second. We got something for you real quick.
Okay, hey.
All right. You wish you could just put him in your pocket and take him around with you to all the presentations.
Here, and then I peek out like a marsupial. Oh, sorry. That's all I can envision, peeking out your pocket.
We had a chance to take him up and to show him some of the incredible sights here, but we were trying to get him booked out to come in a few days early, but his schedule is just so busy with demand from other marketplaces, other places, other things that he's in charge of. We weren't able to do it, so Friday was the earliest we could get a flight in for him. But now that he's got a little bit of a taste of Utah, I think next time that we bring him in, I know we've already got an offer from our top recruiter to take him out skiing, some ski lessons and stuff like that. We did his good friend Kai Deering up real well, which...
Right.
She was out. We'll be safer. No broken bones.
Right, right.
We'll take you out there and do something real, real safe, like the ski jump we showed you.
Right, right.
We can do that.
I'll do that. Right.
Took
right.
him up to the Olympic Park and let him watch people doing ski jumps, doing double backflips.
But I didn't get a chance to do it. I wanted to do it with the kids, the little kitty one.
So, anyhow, so what we got you to take home and show your wife so that you can sell her on the vision of y'all coming out here. And by the way, we passed it around while you were training so people could put a few of their thoughts and sentiments in the book on some of the stuff that you'd been sharing with them. So the state got to share their feelings with you. But just pictures of some of the different places in Utah, different national parks and stuff that we have, like Zions and Bryce and stuff like that down in southern Utah. But our mountains, our national parks, our resources and stuff that we have here, some of the beautiful places. In fact, he was commenting on all the temples that he saw here in Utah, because he has the Oakland Temple pretty close to where he lives in California. What do they call it there in the...
Disneyland.
Disneyland.
Yes. It looks like it is so huge. Beautiful.
It's all lit up and called Disneyland over there and stuff. But take this home. Show it to your wife and say, hey, these are some of the places we get to go back and see together.
Thank you.
Next time we come back to Utah. Give them another hand for coming up, guys. And by the way, if you didn't check your emails or for some reason you don't get them, there is a CDLP, Commercial Driver's Legal Plan class, at Daniel Rona's office at 4 o'clock this evening if you would like to go get CDLP certified. That class is probably only taught about once a year. So it's very rare to get. Now, if you know people in the trucking industry or you know people that have contacts in that, you cannot market a membership unless you are certified. So if you're not certified, you've been looking for an opportunity to get certified, Today is your lucky day. Miss Gabby Martineau teaches that class for like all the Western United States. So we're very fortunate to have her here. But most of the time she's teaching it in other states. And so she's very busy. And about once a year we get her actually here in the state that she lives in. So if you need the address or any other details afterwards, you can come up and get in contact with her and get that information. All right. You guys ready for who's coming next month? You guys, I'm so excited about... Literally, I was talking with Mr. Burns the other day, telling him the lineup through the end of the year. And it just kind of freaks you out to think, oh my gosh, I've got to do more. There's so many incredible, incredible people coming. And again, ring earner after ring earner after ring earner after ring earner. And, you know, a lot of you may not recognize the names if you don't have a Profiles of Success book. Apparently, they all sold out today, so we won't ever get any more. They're gone till next year. But read their stories. Find out about these people that we're bringing in. This lady, that it's time to bring in another lady, that is coming in next month. I've been trying to actually get her here for quite a while, but again, her schedule also, she is very, very much in demand, very fun. But she puts a little different spin on it because she made the bulk of her income doing group. She has a great team. She's a regional vice president, but she made a lot of money doing group. But I never knew that for the first few years that I met her because I just thought, for some reason, I had this vision that like the group people weren't plugged into the networking part of the business. And she was at all the networking events. And after I got to know her and hang out with her at an event a few years ago, I found out how passionate she is about the team building side. But she's made hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in doing group. And so if you would like more people on your team learning that, she's going to have some very good insights on the membership and doing group. Our next month's guest is the regional vice president for the state of Montana, Miss Katie Huff. She is fabulous. And she is so much fun. I mean, literally, we were at the Nikki Stone Cypher golf tournament a few years ago, and I got a stomach ache from laughing so hard for so many hours hanging out with her at dinner that night. We were just dying laughing our heads off. I'm so excited to have her out here, and she's going to come in. We're going to do some fun things on the Friday during the daytime, and then we're going to do a barbecue that night, and that's probably the last one of the year. And so I'm going to strongly encourage you to do whatever you can to be at those events. Now, we did run into a little snafu. The tickets are going to say August 11th. And that's because I told Doug Youngberg August 11th. He does all of our tickets. You guys, give him a hand for doing our tickets every single month. I'm telling you, this is just one of those things that it's just someone needs to do is make our tickets there. And I never worry about are the tickets going to be there. I just show up and he shows up with the tickets. And it's delegated and it's just like, it is so nice to have people in the state that just do a small little thing that makes a huge difference to all of us. And so I have never taken the chance to thank him and Jen for, from what I understand, they actually perforate them by hand. Holy crap. I mean, you guys, the time to run an event collectively between the sound guys and the front table, making tickets, making phone calls, booking travel arrangements and hotels, and Miss Deanne Foster goes and gets the gift bags ready and puts them in the hotel room of the people showing up. I mean, it's like a Broadway presentation to get one person in and out safely. And there's so many people that never get all the credit that they deserve for this, but it says oxygen. She called. Well, I actually called her last night, and we were talking. She has to move it to the 18th, 1 week later. So, the ticket will say August 11th. If you pay attention only to the ticket, you will have a nice, quiet meeting here, and you can reflect on your notes from today on paying attention to the announcements. It's going to be on the 18th. The 18th. I will send out reminder emails, and we will put it on the state calendar and everything else like that. And we'll talk about it between now and then to try to make sure everybody's in the loop, because I'm not going to make Doug and Jen reperforate hundreds of tickets because of that last little change. Now, thing about this going forward, though, you know, Mr. Mackey touched a lot about culture and the culture building events. And you saw a lot of different culture building events and stuff like that. We're going to do the same thing that we've done for the last few months while we still have good weather, knock on wood, for the barbecue. You can get a ticket for $20 here today, or you can get 5 for the price of 4, and it will also get you 2 tickets into the barbecue, which is just a huge, huge, huge savings. I know tonight for me and my wife, Friday night is always date night for me and my wife, and one gets to pick the activity and one gets to pick the restaurant. Well, when my wife picks the restaurant, I'm spending more than $80 on going out to eat somewhere. I just know that. Not only would you get 5 tickets to the event, but then you get your dinners also included. What if only one? What if you had 5 tickets and you gave them out to important people, only one person showed up? But it was like Miss Deanne DeBell, who last month put in 39 memberships. What if you were getting a $35 commission on 39 memberships, but it was because you had an extra ticket? You're like, hey, what are you doing Saturday? Nothing. I've got a ticket to an event. I paid $20 for it, but I'll tell you what, I'll just give it to you. And each month, you notice she's practically the top producer every single month. What if you had someone putting in 40 to 60, sometimes even more memberships than that every single month, and you were getting a $35 commission on that every single month? Would you look back a few years earlier when you bought that ticket and just say, oh, I can't believe I wasted that money because 4 people didn't show? No, you'd be like, this lady makes me thousands of dollars a month because I got up there, I came out of my shell. It's amazing, when you have 5 tickets in your wallet, you come out of your shell a little bit more like, I'm going to go talk to someone and give this out. But when you only have 1, you're like, well, I'm taken care of. I got my thing covered. You have a different energy when you have more to give out to people, and you have a more sense of an urgency to get out there and talk to people. And building that culture is critical. He showed the picture of when he first got started. And he goes, the vast majority of those people are not in the business today. And that is holds true across everybody's organization. From the 12 years that I've been here, there's only one person in this room that was in my business 11 years ago. And that's my mom. But my mom's at all the Super Saturdays. She's at the business briefings, the trainings, the conventions, all the different things. Now, unless there's another family event going on, a kid's getting baptized or marriage or something like that, I'll say, hey, send me photos. But just kidding. She knows I'm at all those events and stuff too. But she's at every single event because she understands the culture building process. Tonight, Mr. Burns is having a fight night at his house. Now, you might not be into UFC fighting. There is a method to the madness. I can tell you this much. There is a strong, cohesive nucleus of guys and girls that will show up at his house tonight for a potluck junk food buffet to watch guys beat the crap out of each other. Booyah! Absolutely. Let me tell you. It's almost 100% Legal Shield Associates. And these people will never quit the business because of the friendship, the inclusiveness, the camaraderie of the culture building events outside of the business. It's those things that lock people in for life. It's the event after the event, eating dinner, breaking bread with people. It's the parties at your house. It's the barbecues. It's all these little onesie-twosie things that create this culture. Now, because it's date night, my wife gets to pick the restaurant, but I pick the activity. I had to pull the guys together before the Super Saturday and say, guys, now listen, tonight is date night, so I'm bringing my wife. So remember, no swear words, no nothing, gosh dang, you know, snap, whatever you need to say, but my wife is coming with me and she thinks highly of all of you. So, again, remember, Broadway presentation. You all are going to act like nice, clean-cut businessmen at the fight night tonight. She's going to get a new culture experience at the fight night tonight and stuff. Yes, I love her. Absolutely. That's why I'm taking her, to give her more culture. Okay? So, but your opportunity to bring your team to hang out with Katie Huff and have a barbecue and stuff like that, you never know when it's just all of a sudden something clicks, and all of a sudden they're like, wow, these aren't just people trying to make money off you. They're actual friends. They actually care about you. I wish I had 10 friends like your 10 friends. I wish I had that closeness with the people I work with. Because quite honestly, the people that I work with, we could care less about each other at work. And you show up and everyone's shaking hands and hugging and how's it going? And you're joking with each other. And they go, you know what? I want that in my life. And they'll stay active in the business because of the friendships and the camaraderie, even when they're not making money yet. But they stay active long enough that they keep going to the events. They get enough notes. They finally get the guts to go do a PBR. And next thing you know, they get a paycheck. And then they believe because they've got monetary value. And then all of a sudden, I've had people that kind of just sat there as wallflower. My cousin for 9 years. 9 years, no activity. And then all of a sudden, made that decision to get going. Next month, executive director. Who would have known for 9 years someone doing nothing had it in them to go out there and do all that? But again, your relationships with those people, showing them that you care about them, that you're in there for them, makes a huge difference. So I'm going to strongly encourage you, make plans for the Friday night along with the Saturday, the training, the friendship opportunities, and the learning activities and stuff. So tickets will be available. Oh, by the way, I need one other thing. If you're one of the people that get 5 tickets, don't take off. I want to get a picture of all of you on stage holding up your 5 tickets with Mr. Mecki right afterwards, and we're going to send that in to Tony Petrill. And Monday on the National Leadership Show nationwide, he's going to show the picture of everyone in Utah that's committed with 5 tickets because he's coming here Tuesday night to do our briefing in Layton. So on Monday morning, he's going to show the picture of, oh, and by the way, here's why I'm going to Utah. Look at these guys. They're on fire. Boom, we want to show him, you know, a group of people, everyone that's going to get 5 tickets. He's going to talk about you guys. And everyone that watches that on the internet, live streaming on Monday mornings, you're going to see the crowd in Utah, see your picture, your face, and then Tuesday he's going to be here. How better opportunity, guys, to use some of those 5 tickets to get guests to the briefing in Layton. Now your 5 tickets are all sold. What if you had five more associates on your team here next week that could then start bringing people the next week and the next week? What could happen in the next 30 days if all of a sudden you made that decision to get going today? So get your tickets at the back table, and we'll see you all up here in about 10-15 minutes so we can get your picture taken. Thank you all for coming out today.